and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Why don't they talk about the issue? We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher, kings and queens, working class heroes, hipsters and hipster haters, and of course, Republicans. This is Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
We are live at 6 in the morning at the Republican National Convention. The place is electric. I mean, you would not believe what's going on here. There's some people setting up a microphone over there, and there's a guy reading the paper looking at me like I'm talking too loud. And a few booths away is Bill Bennett, who we saw this morning. And he actually came over to Mark Riley and said, good job on C-SPAN. Of course, he didn't even look at me. And then
No, I went out of my way to make sure he knew the entire crew.
Yeah. And then
I was going to be the only one to show his hand.
We decided we wanted to go over there with some dice and say, you want to play? We can't even talk too loud because and then Pashman comes in and yells, you know, what was it, Dan? What did you yell?
Mr. Bennett, I'll bet you.
Yeah, bet you what? Anything?
I'll bet you anything.
Oh, my God. Cherries? Damn. And then we walk in. They take everything away. They're taking umbrellas away, and they're making us.
They got a stack of umbrellas enough to. And of course, it's pouring rain now too.
And they're making us drink. Take a drink of our water, just in case you know it's
poison, and you keel over and die.
And they take Smarty Pants Larson's entire can of Pepsi away. And we walk in, and some guy who's working here, Madison Square Garden, in some custodial capacity, he goes, "Yeah, they made me take a drink of my coffee." And Larson goes, "Well, they took my can of Pepsi away," and he goes, "Cans are for poor people." What does that even mean? I mean, I couldn't tell if that's a positive statement or a negative statement. It's like that, you know, when you throw the can away, the poor guy gets a nickel, so it's good for the economy. Or what's he make? Because I like cans.
No, that's just New York irony. See, he's in here at the Republican convention.
It was kind of cryptic, though.
It was extremely cryptic.
I mean, I'm a big can fan. I'd rather have a can of soda than a bottle of soda any day because I think cans stay colder. And I drink very quickly. Like, this is important
stuff.
You know,
Pepsi, by the way, this contributes a good deal of money to
these are the issues that we're talking about.
That's
no one can take.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
I give a quick cat update. I know that you guys are seething, and I'm seething, too. I mean, I finally got the seethe on.
Uh-oh.
You know, when I saw the big bully juice coming out of Giuliani last night, dancing on the graves of the people who died in 9/11 to politicize this event here, to justify this event here. It's unbelievable what he did, I think, to me. What do you think, Riley? How do you feel about what he said?
Here's the thing about Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani is, right now, a politician without portfolio. There is nothing worse than a politician without a political gig. He's a businessman now. He goes and he consults different cities about crime reductions. He makes a quarter of a million dollars
for speaking engagement.
Yeah, a huge amount of money, but that's not good enough for him.
Yeah.
Rudy Giuliani has always, you read his bio, you'll know that he has always wanted to be president of the United States.
not
mayor of New York, not governor, not senator, president of the United States. He believes in his heart that he is the reincarnation of Fiorello LaGuardia, the mayor of New York from 1930. Who was a people person.
And Giuliani is not a people person.
He's not a people person, but he is a good speech maker. I know this because back in 1997, I heard him give a long speech where he talked about trying to bridge some of the gaps between his mayoralty and the African-American community, and then he promptly spent the next 4 years ignoring what he said the night of that speech.
I just found last night the arrogance of it all, and then the idea that he says, "I've never seen this many Republicans in New York. I finally feel at home." I mean, that was like... You know,
he was a converted Democrat just like Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, I just think he's just an ass-kisser that changed sides so he could, you know, operate his little fascistic fantasies and be the little control freak that he is. I still believe to this day that, you know, whatever he did on 9/11, a guy like him, you know, looks for an opportunity like that to show... That was a gift for a control freak like him.
September 11th saved his mayoralty, saved his image. You have to remember.
And invented this presidency.
Well, yeah, and after... Rudy Giuliani had announced he was splitting with his wife before he told his wife he was splitting with
before
his wife.
Before everyone in New York knew already, but his wife didn't know somehow or another.
No, and he walked his girlfriend about 10 blocks down 2nd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So he was damaged goods, not just in terms of the rest of his mayoralty, which was relatively short, but in terms of any kind of political career whatsoever. A guy who leaves his wife in a public way like that, as a Republican, isn't going to get elected dog catcher.
Right.
But then September 11th happened, and he morphed from lame duck mayor to America's mayor.
Right.
Now he is looking to capitalize on it. And what you saw last night between McCain and Rudy Giuliani is an early test of wills for 2008, when, assuming that John Kerry wins the election, they'll be running against an incumbent, or if Bush gets reelected, the seat will be open. McCain and Giuliani both want the same thing.
Is that why McCain is bending over so much? Is that why he's so shameless?
Absolutely.
And he's allowing himself to be turned out by this sort of president?
That's why everybody's bending over. Well, let me not go off too far about this, but
Bloomberg scurried off pretty quickly.
Well, we'll talk to him later about why he did that.
We are going to be talking to Mayor Bloomberg in the last hour of our show. We've got some good guests coming up. We've got David Catania, who is the openly gay and Republican D.C. councilman. It's interesting what's going on with those guys, too. They don't, are they going to jump ship or not?
Well, a Virginia Republican just did jump ship.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that just yet. We want to hear some Giuliani stuff. Do we want to do it now, or do you want to do it after the break? But I think we should wait. You want to do it now?
Yeah, let's do the first one now. Let's listen to him do what so many Republicans have done before, and that is link September 11th, for reasons that are best known to themselves, to the fall of Saddam Hussein. This is former Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
And it was here in 2001 in the same lower Manhattan that President George W. Bush stood amid the fallen towers of the World Trade Center. And he said to the barbaric terrorists who attacked us, they will hear from us. Well, they heard from us. They heard from us in Afghanistan, and we removed the Taliban. They heard from us in Iraq. And we ended Saddam Hussein's reign of terror.
That's now they got him doing it. They subcontracted to Giuliani to make this false connection between Iraq and terrorism.
Absolutely.
Which has been proven false by the 9/11 Commission, which I guess they completely disregard anything that those guys said.
Well, see, because Giuliani still has that September 11th credibility. The Republicans believe, now I'm not sure they're at all right about this, but the Republicans believe that by Rudy Giuliani saying, there's a link between September 11th and Saddam, that it has more credibility because he was here on September 11th as opposed to our president.
The contradictions that are coming out of this Republican National Convention and just their whole platform of contradictions, it's amazing that it's no longer flip-flopping. It's literal. It's like this weird momentum of hypocrisy, of poetic hypocrisy that, people aren't seeing that they're giving two completely separate ideologies almost, the Republicans, between the moderates and the conservatives, and then, between, they're playing all sides, and they're trying. I guess if that is founded in intolerance, that seems like strength to some people.
Politically, it is room for the Democrats to drive a truck through.
I know, but why aren't they? I mean, yesterday there was.
Therein lies the question.
I'm not knocking. Well, maybe I am knocking, but I mean, yesterday, they were handed a gift by the president, and we'll talk about that when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Meisterich. I'm a filmmaker and a citizen, not a politician. I believe passionately in the freedom of expression, an idea that is increasingly threatened by today's administration. Films play an important role in bringing social issues to the public, yet fewer films receive distribution today, especially those expressing an alternative point of view. 7 conglomerates now control which films you get to see. Film Movement and Air America Radio are trying to change all that. Subscribe to Film Movement at airamericaradio.com and receive a new, first-run film to own on DVD each month. Award-winning films with strong social messages. Important films such as Falling Angels with Miranda Richardson about the American family in the 1960s. And The Party's Over about the state of democracy in America. These films are exclusively available through Film Movement. We thank you for your support in our mission to bring alternative voices in film to America. please visit AirAmericaRadio.com and help make a difference.
Hi, this is KFBL. How can I help you?
Have you got the 49ers game this week?
No, sir. We only broadcast our one local NFL game.
What about the Giants? You got New York?
No, just...
All right, now, Cleveland, I'm from Cleveland.
Sir, we can't.
Okay, but will you have the Dallas call?
No, you will only get our home team call.
All right, Minnesota...
Every NFL game, every week, everywhere.
Sir...
With the call from both sides. Exclusively on Sirius NFL Radio. For the full game broadcast schedule, go to Sirius.com.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. Explain how your trek up Mount Everest changed your views about what's important in life and how to focus on getting what you really want.
We watched two guys die, and as we tried to understand why they had died, it became apparent in the first case that one of them had died because he hadn't figured out that his skills were no match for a mountain as big as Everest. He either didn't figure out what his skills were, or he didn't take the time to match them with the climb. And that kind of stuck in our heads as a little bit as a learning we should understand. The second guy died because his values didn't match the needs of Mount Everest. He went on alone. And you can't climb Everest alone. I mean, you get winds of 150 miles an hour. You get temperatures of, you know, minus 60 below. It's impossible to do alone. He went on independently, and he eventually died. So his values didn't match up with the needs of Everest.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
I don't want to hear about it. I just like, you know, I'm here, I don't...
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here!
It's unbelievable to me what Giuliani, you know, just said. He calls it, you know, and especially talking about 9/11, is that, you know, he talked about, you know, how when he showed up down there, and then when 2 days later Bush came down, and made, you know, back when he called it a crime and not an act of war,
yeah.
Back when, you know, he just spoke to the firefighters, and before even showing any empathy or sympathy for the victims, he said, you know, we're going to pay back these guys, knowing that in the back of his head, in the back of his cabinet, all they were looking at was Iraq even then, knowing that this was something that happened on his watch, and there are people in this country that say, look, I think the job's not, we haven't done the job yet, so why fire the guy in charge? Well, because the bad thing happened when he was there on his watch. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And there was one thing that Rudy Giuliani did not say and could not say yesterday during his speech, and that is George W. Bush was responsible for the capture of Osama bin Laden. That he could not say. Because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and they're talking about how all these successes in Afghanistan. Where's the success in Afghanistan? They went in to get bin Laden. They came out without him. And now the Taliban striking back killed two people 2 days ago.
That's
in
right.
A car bomb.
Not only that, we got more cops here in New York today than we have troops in Afghanistan.
And Giuliani called Bush a rock-solid president. What about those strange 7 minutes where he looked like a baffled, confused animal while they read him, the two second graders read him a story about an animal? What about when he got into that plane and jumped all over the country trying to find a place where he might be safe?
Well, what about that? That was proper strategic planning on the part of the president.
The flying around?
Yeah.
Or the one where he sat there and let the second graders finish as opposed to saying, hey, kids, it got to go.
No, that was like...
got a problem in the world.
Taking one for the children.
Yeah. Well, let's continue on with this Giuliani bashing fest because I find it engaging.
What do you like to call it? Bully juice?
He's all full of the bully juice. That guy, he's got some serious bully juice. And, like, there's nothing worse than watching him in front of a room of people that are preaching to the choir. Because then the bully juice is all sort of like the proud bully juice. That's the worst.
Yeah. And now, you know, he decided, I guess, during the course of his speech to criticize John Kerry.
Yeah.
To talk about John Kerry being a flip-flopper. Again, carrying Bush's water for him. Because Bush, as we all know, is not yet here. But let's hear Rudy Giuliani on John Kerry.
John Kerry has no such clear, precise, and consistent vision. This is not a personal criticism of John Kerry. I respect him for his service to our nation. But it's it's important and critical to see the contrast in approach between these two men. President Bush, a leader who's willing to stick with difficult decisions, even as public opinion shifts and goes back and forth, and John Kerry, whose record in elected office suggests a man who changes his position even on important issues.
No, that suggests a man who's had a career in the legislature, who has had to make decisions over bills, has had to make decisions over evolving, you know, pieces of legislation, and voted, you know, for and against certain things that had different things connected to them. That's a career in the Senate. You know, whereas you have a president who was just, you know, a governor who made very few decisions, and on top of that is narrow-minded and stubborn. You know, there's a fine line between what Giuliani is calling principled and what, you know, what is really just, you know, belligerent stubbornness that is not able to evolve.
But see, Mark, the problem with what Giuliani said is that Bush has, in fact, changed his vision, whether it's by poll, because of the polling, or whether it's because he woke up one day and decided to do something different. The fact of the matter is, a great deal of what he promised in 2000, he has not been able to fulfill, and a great deal of what he has said in the run-up to the war and the subsequent trying to win the peace in Iraq has also turned out not to be true.
He's got nothing but his stubbornness. I think that's what it really comes down to, is that all that Giuliani is really saying to me is that this guy is stubborn in the face of reason, and we should applaud that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has waffled and flip-flopped on so many different things. But the real indication of that is he's got absolutely nothing to show for himself. What has he got to show for himself? He's in the middle of a war that, you know, he's trying to make it look like it's happening exactly as it was supposed to happen, which is ridiculous.
We all know better than that.
Yeah, because, I mean, where's the celebration? I mean, they came to New York thinking they were going to kick our butts with their, you know, big victory march. You know what I mean? And that's not happening. And also the fact that, you know, the economy's in the toilet. There's more poor people than there ever has been. You know, all his educational, you know, programs have not even, most of them haven't even been in place.
Because he hasn't funded them. Quiet as it's kept. You know, people talk about the Bush tax cuts. The fact of the matter is he has cut taxes, but he has not funded many of the initiatives that he's brought forward.
Well, why don't we parse out some of this, you know, rhetoric versus reality here? You know, to quote Bush in 2000, quote, there are 43 million uninsured Americans, 4 million more than when the current administration took office. George W. Bush will reverse this trend by making health insurance affordable for hardworking, low-income families. That was on the Bush-Cheney website in 2000.
Yes.
Now, the reality is, in the first 3 years Bush was in office, the number of uninsured Americans increased by nearly 5.5 million. Since Bush took office, health insurance premiums have risen by an average rate of 12.5% a year. So there you go. That's a lie, and it's stuff that he didn't change.
12.5% a year by 4 years is what? 50%.
And here's something else from the same website, same time, 2000. These were the things that he campaigned on, right?
Mm-hmm.
George W. Bush will establish the Healthy Communities Innovation Fund to provide $500 million in grants over 5 years to fund innovative projects addressing targeted health risks such as childhood diabetes. That fund was never even established.
That was the Healthy Communities Innovation Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Never established it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Higher ed.
Yeah.
George W. Bush will, quote, fully fund the Pell Grant program for first-year students by increasing the maximum grant amount by more than 50% to $5,100. In fact, he has frozen the maximum Pell Grant at $4,050 in his 2005 education budget. This is the third year in a row that he's either cut the maximum Pell Grant or frozen it.
All he's doing is running on exploiting people's fear and maintaining people's fear. They sent up those balloons in New York a few weeks ago that there was a terror alert, and I think that was how he was going to replace the lack of victory that he was anticipating in Iraq. He was going to try and create an element of such fear in this city that just the fact that he would show up would make him look stronger, which is baloney.
Well, and of course, you have the ultimate flip-flop.
Yeah.
The flip-flop about winning the war on terror. We've been told, Mark, and since we've started this program together, we have said dozens of times and played dozens of tapes of George W. Bush talking about winning the war on terror. And lo and behold, he was asked about that same subject by Matt Lauer on the NBC Today show just yesterday. Let's go to that tape.
Do you really think we can win this war on terror?
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world. Let's put it that way.
See, I, you know, as powerful as this statement is from this president, and it was very deliberate, it was not a gaffe, he said, I don't think we can win it. And, of course, you know, Kerry and Edwards immediately said, oh, we can definitely win it. Mm-hmm. That's fine, you know, and I think that, you know, it was a great thing to jump on. You know, and it's a very weird timing for him to make a comment, but I don't think this is him straying from his policy. I think that the reason they set this war up to be this weird thing that's going to go on forever and have no seeming end is essentially for it to play the same part that the Cold War played during Reagan or during, you know, anyone else, George Herbert Walker Bush's reign, is that if you have a constant conflict that evokes fear in your populace, that you can, you know, exploit that fear and just keep it going for as long as possible. It's like William Burroughs said, you know, control needs control to survive. I think this is part of their plan, is to keep this nebulous war, you know, from never really being won in order to maintain power.
Well, it also gives you the ability to start other wars. Remember that the neoconservative plan was not supposed to end with Iraq. If they can keep Iraq under wraps for a little while, and that, by the way, doesn't mean that they win anything. It
right.
just means they keep it out of the headlines, keep it out of the papers. Then you're looking at Iran. What are we hearing about Iran? Disarm or else.
But, you know, the truth of the matter is, it seems to me, Mark, is that the Iraq war was a power grab. You know, it was just, you know, it was strictly about resources. So they're trying to connect that to terror, like you're saying, so they can do whatever they want under the, you know, the umbrella of this terrorist war thing, you know, which a lot of it is, it has nothing to do with terrorism.
Well, yeah, and it has to do with a political end. And George W. Bush knows that a guy like Rudy Giuliani, if let's say that Bush thinks he's going to actually win this thing in November, serve another 4 years, and then the 08 situation is wide open, he's pretty sure that a guy like Rudy Giuliani would continue to follow this neoconservative agenda, particularly in the Middle East region, where it is most dangerous to follow this path. I think it's been proven. Now, the lives of almost 1,000 American soldiers would tell you that that's already been proven. This is a very, very dangerous path.
And they're also
this country's pursuit.
Making more terrorists.
Yes.
Making more terrorists.
And that is indeed a great, great danger.
Yeah.
Coming up, the presidential Palm Pilot, the hunt for Alan Keyes, the liberal agenda, plus exactly what's happening with the log cabin Republicans. We get into it all live from Madison Square Garden right here on Air America Radio.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It's day two of the Republican National Convention at Madison Square Garden. Republicans last night heard from some of the stars of the party, including Arizona Senator John McCain, who brought the crowd to their feet on several occasions. During his speech, McCain also slammed film director Michael Moore, calling him disingenuous. Moore was in the audience at the time of the McCain hit. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will give the keynote speech tonight. This is scores of protesters plan to hit the streets again around the convention side to register their opposition to Bush and his policies. Radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr yesterday called on his followers to abandon their fight against American soldiers and those of the Iraqi government after weeks of unrest. And two French journalists held hostage in Iraq are calling on France's president to obey their kidnappers' demands. The kidnappers want the French government to rescind the ban on Muslim headscarves in schools. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
All right, we're here live in Egypt, where Bam Margera of Jackass fame is attempting to be the first man to skate down the Great Pyramid.
Hey!
And he's off. He's looking pretty good. No, wait. He's a little unsteady. Oh, it looks like he's taking a bit of a tumble out.
Bam Margera now has his own exclusive radio show on Sirius. Enjoy Tony Hawk, Tony Slater, and Jerry Walsh, the top extreme sports stars. All with exclusive show only on Sirius. Action 28.
Coming this fall.
What am I meaning?
This is Earth and Sky on how some sea creatures have adapted to life thousands of meters below the ocean surface.
One challenge of deep ocean life is that there's not much to eat. Since no light penetrates, no plants or algae can grow.
Some deep ocean creatures survive on the steady rain of plankton and other particles coming down from surface waters.
Others get their food from below. Geysers of hot water and nutrients called hydrothermal vents erupt from spots on the seafloor. These hydrothermal vents feed bacteria. The bacteria, in turn, feed tube worms and other creatures.
And sometimes a large object, say a dead whale, makes it to the seafloor. Deep ocean fishes have an excellent sense of smell, so they can find the food bonanza. They're also equipped to seize living prey that can be few and far between.
For example, the gulper eel is mostly mouth and teeth, and it has an expandable stomach, so it can swallow creatures its own size. Most deep-sea fish and squid have organs that generate light through a chemical reaction. In the darkness, flashing light helps attract mates or scare off predators. But most often the lights are used to attract food. The black dragonfish, for example, has chin whiskers, really dangling chin barbs, that act as glow-in-the-dark fishing lures.
For links to pictures of some deep-sea creatures, come to earthsky.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Past the hours, morning's edition on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron. That is Mark Riley.
Hi.
We are at the Republican National Convention where things are really starting to, well, not much is going on, but we do have, you know, actually Ramon is in the building.
Ah!
I don't know where he is. He might have been that guy we saw walking in, but I've got the presidential palm pilot for today. Here's the schedule for today. 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. The Democrats are behind all those violent protests. Note. Start some violent protests. 9:45 a.m. Speak to American Legion Convention, Opryland Hotel, Nashville. Tell them, quote, the terrorists hate Shania Twain, the terrorists hate Tim McGraw, end quote. 11 a.m. Call Schwarzenegger before tonight's speech at the convention. Assure him that being a ridiculous governor with a bizarre accent is no barrier to political success. 3 p.m. Farm Progress Show, Alleman, Iowa. Tell them, quote, I'm proud of the progress our administration has made for the farmer. Once there were thousands of family farms, now there are five corporate agribusinesses. If that's not progress, I don't know what is. End quote. 9:30 p.m. Family Style Picnic, North Littleton Township, Pennsylvania. Illustrate foreign policy by burning ants with a magnifying glass. 10 p.m. Return to Washington. Watch Laura speak at convention. Then send flowers and thank her for locking up votes in Stepford. 11 p.m. Rehearse acceptance speech. Make sure Michael Moore isn't in the audience. Note, his eyes burn my soul. 12 p.m. Bedtime prayer. Dear Jesus, all I need is one guy wearing a carry button and a dress to throw a bomb. Amen. The guy over at Bloomberg is like, No.
You're going straight to hell. That's what he's saying. Yeah, he's got a lawyer file full of stuff over there.
So we got some electricity coming from the floor. I think Brendan P.W. McDonald is down on the floor with a microphone here at the Republican National Convention. Brendan, what's going on down there on the floor?
Guys, it's electric down here on the floor. Mark, what are you doing to me? Why am I down here? I'm back there with you guys. There's nothing going on here.
Really? There's not. Is there any like news crews setting up or anything?
Yeah, but like, what do you want me? Want me to go talk to a guy from New York One? You know, doing his stand up, or he looks 15. Make me look like Masuda. It's like there's nobody down. He put all the guys like me down here at 6 o'clock in the morning because there's nothing else to do with him. The other thing.
Who's speaking?
Got any coffee down there?
Well, they are, you know, testing out the movable band platform, and, you know, that rises up from the ground.
That's the one where they're going to bring up the caged Bin Laden on the night right before Bush speaks. They're going to bring the
really
cage.
The one thing that I really need to point out is that everybody working here is really, really white.
Yeah.
Like everyone, the volunteers, the guys with headsets, I've never seen this many white people at the Garden. And that includes Rangers games. And
Whoa, that's an untimed cut. There are three black hockey fans in America, at least in New York.
Yes, but not the way it looks down here. And, they're not letting anybody, like Zell Miller just got hustled past me. I don't know why he wouldn't want to talk to us.
Yeah, maybe it was the Air America thing on your mic.
Right, yeah. He's got some splaining to do. I don't know, you guys, it's pretty not exciting down here. Probably the most interesting thing is that I'm standing right next to the delegation chairs from Puerto Rico and Rhode Island. One's an island, the other's not, but it's not like you know which one by the names. That's about all I can give you from down here, guys. You know what? Maybe you can send it back to me when, Al Jazeera and Fox News start broadcasting from their two boxes, which are right next to each other.
I know, I saw that yesterday. Ooh. I was down on the floor. There's just Al Jazeera and Fox News.
Wow.
Both serving extreme viewpoints to different audiences.
Well, it may be that Murdoch has actually bought Al Jazeera. You might see a profit.
I bet you he would. Thanks, Brendan. We'll be checking back with you, Brendan McDonald, on the floor.
All right, rush.
Yeah. Zell Miller, is it?
On the floor at Madison Square Garden here. Let me tell you what time it is here in New York. 6:35. So the speakers, the secondary speakers, or the... Is it 6:38?
Yeah.
It's 6:37 and 27, 28. Who wants to argue? You want a piece of me? All right. So let's get to this. Apparently a blogger triggered the resignation of Representative Ed Schrock of Virginia by spreading rumors that he...
Republican, Ed
Schrock. Yeah. He's a congressman. He apparently is...
Not for long.
By spreading rumors, he is gay. And the blogger said that there is more to come, and that's a quote on that. Apparently, he tipped some information that the guy's been calling hustler sites.
He had an audio tape that purported to be Schrock, and after Schrock prayed and, deliberated and, I guess, McGreevy'd,
yes,
he decided it was time for him to step down.
You know what's amazing is how well, Republicans can spin in an election season. I mean, the Attorney General, Jerry Kilgore, said, quote, "I'm sad for Congressman Schrock. It certainly was a surprise to me. I'm glad he had the courage to say to the Republicans in Virginia to move on." He had the courage to say, guys, go ahead without me because I clearly don't fit in anymore.
Well, it's a solidly Republican district. There's no chance a Democrat is going to contest, even with the guy bowing out this late in the race. So, bottom line...
So the guy can't go anywhere to celebrate coming out? In his own neighborhood, he can't go dance around somewhere?
I don't think so. Not in this rock rib part of the state of Virginia. But
you know what that music? Doom, 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 doom. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the coming out party of Representative Ed Schrock.
But they're going to have to do something. I bet you a Republican decides to try and regulate blogs after this.
Yeah.
This is getting to be too much. This guy is talking about dropping other names, too. He said he's not finished.
Yeah, the party's just starting.
He's starting to sound like Larry Flint. You remember when Flint went through that whole thing about offering $1 million to anybody who would badmouth some of the politicians who were going after Clinton?
Well, I wonder if this blogger, I don't know anything about him, but if he's got friends who are going to the same bathhouses as these guys, maybe there's a whole list. There's a secret underground gay railroad. What's that?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We've got last night, Smarty Pants Larson and Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, went out into the world.
In the streets.
Yes, of New York to talk to delegates. And I guess we've got a report from a place called Crowbar where they went last night.
Crowbar?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll hear that when we come back. Are we leaving now?
We're leaving now.
All right, we'll see you in a minute on Air America Radio.
Are you serious?
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Do you know who really, really rocks on Sirius?
What?
Diane Rame on NPR Now.
Dude.
Oh, I really like her hard news analysis of politics and international affairs.
Dude.
I really prefer Fresh Air with Terry Gross for her probing questions, revelatory interviews, and unusual insights.
Surf on over to NPR for Diane Ray, 10 a.m. Eastern weekday, and Terry Gross, 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. weekends on Sirius NPR Now 106.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events.
Here's Peter B. Collins.
Trent Berhow is a USDA food inspector, but is speaking as a private citizen. Inspectors on the line used to have the power to shut down the line if they suspected there were a problem. You still have that power, but politically, it's not wise to use it. Is that the correct way to put it?
Yeah, that power is still there, but I mean, it's the clout that industry has over the agency. I mean, not only do they have powerful lobbying efforts in Washington from a congressional level, I mean, we have cattlemen that are serving for the USDA now.
And so if you shut down a line and they didn't agree with you at headquarters, would they discipline you?
Definitely the potential is there for that, yes. It's never happened to me, but I know of inspectors who have been disciplined for taking what the industry claimed was, you know, inappropriate control actions.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I started hearing voices telling me, you're dying, you're dying. I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time, and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Playing the guitar, going to a museum, watching a movie, eating French fries. Do you know what these things all have in common? When you do them with kids, you're helping to prevent crime. So spend time, anytime, with kids. You'll help keep them away from crime and help prevent crime in your community. Call 1-800-WE-PREVENT. That's 1-800-W-E-P-R-E-V-E-N-T.
We're back. It's morning's edition at the Republican National Convention here in New York City's Madison Square Garden. It is now 43 past the hour. I'm sitting here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
We've got Smarty Pence Larson and Dan Pashman, son of Wilson Linda Pashman of New Jersey. We've got Dale, who's our in-house board op down here out of the dark, weird, closet-like office.
Yes.
Of where we are usually located out here in the open air of Madison Square Garden in we're in a lobby, I think, kind of. Is this a lobby, Mark?
Yeah, I think they got a couple of concession stands and stuff. This is where you go when you want to get out of the theater at
right.
Madison Square Garden. This actually is not the arena where the convention is taking place. This used to be called the Felt Forum
right.
years ago.
Right.
Back
was,
in the day.
What was back in the day of the Felt Forum? Now it's the theater
at Madison Square Garden. Yeah.
So when I said before about Dan Pashman and Jonathan Larson going out and interviewing delegates, they did that, but that's not the one we were going to work with. Apparently they went to hear Alan Keyes. There was an event where Alan Keyes was going to speak.
And you didn't bring me?
It was in honor of...
The brother was going to speak and you didn't invite the brother?
And you got to tell us about that Democratic press conference when we work up the courage
okay.
to take a shot at the Democrats in the midst of all this. But we're going to hear from Dan and Jonathan in a minute. But there are two groups right now that are actually challenging the GOP stance on different things. Mm-hmm. On one side, you've got the ultra-right, who is challenging the GOP stand on, you know, or their policy, or not their policy, their choice of choosing moderates like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like Rudy Giuliani,
yeah.
like McCain, I guess, as well. He would be considered one as well, right? A moderate Republican.
He's considered moderate, but the difference with McCain is that he's pro-life. And both Giuliani and Schwarzenegger are not. And these people draw the line at being pro-life. Now, they draw a lot of other lines, too.
They were actually protesting. This is
yes.
ultra-right, the crazies, the ones that are, you know, the Christo-fascists, the Christians that aren't Christian. They're leaning towards, you know, completely delusional. But
yeah.
they actually had signs, and they were protesting. They said, hasta la vista pro-abort GOP. You know, babies die in big tent GOP.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Giuliani is a poison to the party. They are really pissed about the fact that, because this is a group that is so beaten on some level that they no longer consider, you know, fiscal policy as a priority to them. All they care about are these cultural wedge issues, these issues that, you know, are against science, they're against evolution, they're against stem cells, they're against abortion. I was in Union Square yesterday trying to buy some plums at the garden market down there, you know, and some dude comes by with like a 15-foot poster on a stick that he's walking. It was one of those horrendous sort of, you know, bloody baby, you know, posters. Just everyone's trying to buy produce. And like, to me, that, you know, okay, you know, you got a mission, buddy, or are you just trying to attract attention to yourself? Is this about you or is this about an issue? It's just like, it's so repugnant and it's such a disgusting way to bring attention to anything.
Well, here's what independent voters ought to ask themselves. Which do they think is closer? Those people who were out protesting yesterday and the platform that the Republicans have adopted, which they adopted, by the way, yesterday, or the moderates who've been up on the podium. Which one is the Republican Party?
Well, here, I'll ask you some questions. It comes right from the platform. We're going to have we're going to take this thing apart, you know, piece by piece tomorrow.
Plank by plank.
But today, it just says right in the first few pages, this is in the introductory pages, this platform makes clear that the American people will have a choice on November 2nd. Now, I thought this was a joke. If you would have read this in a newspaper, you would have thought it was a joke, because I don't know which one they stand for. A choice between strength and uncertainty. Which one? I mean, I, you know, which one did they, you know, I don't know what they're promoting. A choice between results and rhetoric. Well, clearly, we must be being encouraged to choose rhetoric,
this
right?
This is clearly delusional.
Yeah, how about this? A choice between optimism and pessimism. Be afraid. We're the ones in charge.
Yes.
You know, I mean, which one is that? A choice between opportunity and dependence.
Dependence on what?
Exactly. A choice between freedom and fear. Well, clearly, this platform is choosing fear. Right,
well, yeah, so, because they haven't opened up any new vistas of freedom, that's for sure, not in this country.
And then they say, we choose strength, we choose results, we choose optimism. This is like Orwellian.
That should be the Democratic Manifesto, then.
It's ridiculous. They've got nothing of that. They don't have strength. They've got stubbornness. They don't have optimism. They have some other thing. They have fear. They don't have opportunity. There's no, it's all a big Orwellian lie.
But you know what, Mark? What you're going to start seeing take place is the media, and the media loves to do this sort of thing. They're going to say, look, the platform doesn't really reflect the actual views of the party. The platform is just something that they run on. The platform is just there as a sop to their conservative base. But they're not really going to govern from the platform.
Well, they never do.
They never do. But see, it's going to be the media that runs and carries that water for them. Well, because the fact of the matter is, if it's a platform, they ought to do it.
Yeah, we're going to listen to Jonathan Larson and Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Lyndon Pashman, New Jersey, out last night looking to go to this, they...
Not looking for Mr. Goodbar.
First they had to get to the event. But and then we'll talk about the Log Cabin Republicans after that. So let's hear that bit from last night with those guys.
This is Dan Pashman reporting for Morning Sedition. I'm here with Jonathan Larson. We are inside the New Yorker Hotel where we are expecting Alan Keyes to arrive momentarily. A reception is being held here in his honor. The ambassador expected to arrive shortly. Hushed tones, more as the situation warrants. We have now made it up to the fourth floor of the New Yorker Hotel. Apparently... security not quite so tight for Alan Keyes. We are wandering the halls of this hotel. I'm not sure where we are or where we're going, but we've heard that Ambassador Keyes may be here.
So first they sent us up to the fourth floor. Now we've been told to guess that maybe it's on the third floor.
Herald Square Suite seems to be to the right.
Yeah. That was
he sounded like Geraldo getting ready to go into Al Capone's vault.
We kind of got to be quiet because we're keeping quiet here, too, because he's going to yell in the studio. I can pull back.
Well,
the
we
mic.
Got yellers right over here.
There's all these morning crews. I walked by the other night. An hour ago, the other night.
Yeah.
I just walked by these guys, and it's just one of those morning zoo shows.
Mm-hmm.
Not unlike us. No, we are not.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
We'll be back in a second with some stuff about the Log Cabin Republicans. Are they jumping ship? We'll talk about it after this on Air America Radio.
Get ready.
The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at all Borders books and music stores.
The Revolution Starts Now.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Vendi with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
Big ears,
flat feet,
buck teeth,
bushy hair,
pug nose.
Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at family learning programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. On things like GED preparation, English as a second language, and more. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMILIT1 and pass down the greatest thing of all.
A chance.
Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called the Community Coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking glass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here, Morning Sedition, Air America Radio with Mark Riley.
Hi.
We're all hanging out at the Republican National Convention. You know, these Republicans don't look like a happy bunch. I felt that there was a lot of forced joy last night. It felt like a bunker when I was watching TV. Like they were all sort of locked in, and they're very comfortable in those sort of situations. That's, you know, being in a bunker is what they call a safe situation.
Well, that's essentially going to be their time here in New York. They're going essentially from the hotel to the convention.
Back to the hotel, back to the convention. They're probably very impressed with it. That's how arrogant they are. They're probably very impressed that it's like such an elevated state of security to the point where it feels like a police state. They're like, isn't this wonderful?
I feel safe.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get back to what Larson and Passman were doing last night.
The hunt for Alan Keyes.
Well, I think they eventually got to the event.
We are in the Alan Keyes reception at this time. Just to set the stage here, we're in a small room somewhere in the bowels of the New Yorker Hotel. A young man has passed out on a couch watching TV, a few suits scattered about. There's a gentleman speaking. There's some cold cuts over there. All right, we have now left the reception in honor of Ambassador Alan Keyes.
They had pretty much everything, lots of chairs, even a few people sitting in the chairs, cold cuts, beverages, pretty much everything you could want except Alan Keyes.
Keyes isn't here.
Oh, well. We're back in the lobby here. A lot of people coming into the hotel. I guess they don't realize that Alan Keyes isn't coming.
Apparently, word
apparently word has not yet spread that Alan Keyes did not make this event, because people are still showing up. It's surprising. We're telling them that Alan Keyes is not here, and yet they continue to head into the hotel, almost as if they were here for some other purpose.
All right, Dan Pashman out in the street now here with Jonathan Larson. We have left the Alan Keyes event. Unfortunately, as we said, Ambassador Keyes could not make it.
In fairness to Ambassador Keyes, probably still a little disoriented from his recent move to Illinois.
Well, I actually heard one story from one of my sources, Jonathan, that he was on his way into the hotel, but then another Republican delegate asked him to park his car. And then Alan Keyes never had any quest to make friends in the Republican Party. The ambassador went ahead and parked the car.
This is Jonathan Larson and Dan Pashman leaving the New Yorker Hotel, where our mission was to find Ambassador Alan Keyes. We mistakenly thought he would be at the reception with Alan Keyes. However, he was not, and so, sadly, we have to say, mission not accomplished.
Back to you, Mark and Mark.
Thanks. Wow. That was good work, though. It was really good investigative work. I think, you know, that was great. So he never did show up. Is he even here? Has anyone seen him on the floor? Or
I don't know. You know, I remember a few years ago at a Republican convention where he left in a huff because they wouldn't let him speak. He was going to get up and speak about, you know, ending abortions. And
yeah.
They, at the time, they were starting that whole big tent thing. Said, no, you can't do that. And he went home and said, look, these guys are a bunch of Stalinists. He called them Stalinists.
And that was it? He left?
Yeah. Left the convention. And, you know, a lot of these folks are leaving the convention. Arnold is speaking tonight, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California. Guess what he's leaving?
Tonight.
Yep.
Yeah. On his own plane, I'm sure. Chartered plane.
Back to California
and
with
Bush,
him.
Bush is only staying for now. Okay, we're going to get to the log cabin stuff in the next hour. The end of the next hour, we've got Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg. But here's the liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. Write them down. Here your marching orders. One, remember when giving directions to delegates, the Statue of Liberty is west of Hackensack and north of Poughkeepsie. Two, words to use, Republican, Rethuglican, Resmuglican, Repiglican, Nolovgican, Nice Juglican. Three, call your mother, she worries all those people, such a big city. Four, make sure to stretch and warm up before doing ecstatic anti-Bush dance. Five, today's phrase, drop it into conversation, quote, McCain, you douchebag, end quote. There you go. What do we got coming? Did I say that too loud? Is he around?
I don't know. It looked like him over there, but
I'll take him.
Not him.
I'll take him. Come on, there's five of us. What if you get Bill Bennett to help him, though? Go ahead.
Wait, he's off his mic. He's over there. Be careful.
Oh, no.
Coming up, another Kerry Republican, Barbara Mossbacher, D.C. Councilman David Catania on how the GOP treats gays, and New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, all when we continue here on Air America Radio.
Session is almost over, Bob. Now, the problem?
I was in a car accident. I want my car fixed right, but where? Please, help me!
You're scaring me, Bob.
Wait, I've got it. iCar Gold Class Professionals Businesses!
Great. They know how to fix your vehicle right. They have up-to-date training and keep up with the latest repair methods and technology. Visit the Gold Class Business Directory at www.i-car.com.
iCar, a not-for-profit organization, and the Gold Class Professionals Program are dedicated to training the collision industry to ensure complete and safe repairs.
The International Reading Association is a professional membership organization dedicated to promoting high levels of literacy for all. Their objective is to improve and encourage a lifetime reading habit. With members and affiliates in 99 countries, their network extends to more than 300,000 people worldwide. For more information about the International Reading Association, please go to www.reading.org.
Compromise off. Serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Republican Party appears to be sticking close to a script this week as it paints President Bush as the leader who took the fight to the terrorists following the attack on 9/11. Did not seem to matter that the president yesterday told a broadcast interview the war on terror was one that cannot be won. His aides and party leaders scrambled after the interview to make sense of what the president meant during the Today Show appearance. Despite this, all the speeches from the scene of the Republican National Convention praised Bush for showing what what many in the party considered his leadership. First night of the convention was also a defining political moment for some. Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani was the star of the party last night, trying to influence the undecided in the broadcast audience why Bush needs four more years.
John Kerry has no such clear, precise, and consistent vision. This is not a personal criticism of John Kerry. I respect him for his service to our nation. But it's
Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, as he addressed the Republican National Convention last night at the Garden, Giuliani, during his speech, often referred to what he experienced on the day of the attacks on what was once the World Trade Center. Social conservatives of the Republican Party have again used their influence to define what the party is all about. Indications of that was most evident in the GOP platform, in which the party firmly is opposed to legalized abortion, gay marriage, and other forms of legal recognition of same-sex couples. President Bush's father told a televised interview last night that he considered the series of anti-Bush ads by groups like MoveOn.org and others are totally unfair. George Herbert Walker Bush condemned the advertisements and felt the series of ads by the Swift Bow Veterans for Truth criticized the military record of Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry fair game. Bush was strident when he told CNN last night that he did not think all the vets in the ads were lying. Bush Sr. also agreed with the criticism of former Republican Senator Robert Dole over the injuries suffered by Kerry in the war. Bush Sr. also slammed the New York Times, calling the paper too liberal. The Times has been doing a series of reports linking the Swift Boat vets to many within the Bush White House and his Texas connections. Bush Sr. contends the paper goes too far and considers the paper's reporter's notebook section a venue for which a journalist can abandon objectivity. There's word that the careers of four Army generals could come to a screeching halt because of the prisoner abuse scandal in Abu Ghraib. The four generals are now facing charges in connection with the scandal, but they have been indirectly linked. Two comprehensive reports say the four were partly responsible, but not legally culpable, for the abuse last fall. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
George Condorovich, they're all in town to party. Convention's here, the delegates bitch, it's called the Grand Authority.
Okay, can we make sure all the balloons drop this time?
Yes, sirree, folks, it's the Republicans in the Big Apple, New York City, for their convention. RNC coverage from the left side on Sirius Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius LQ 149.
Here it's at the RNC, for the Grand Authority.
This is Earth and Sky. When we visited the Bronx Zoo, we recorded this question.
My name is Sophia Newlis. I'm from Scarsdale, New York. What I want to know is what bird migrates the farthest.
Sophia, there are about 120 bird species with populations in the United States and south of the equator. Most of these species cross the equator during migration. For example, the red knot flies from New England to far southern South America.
Other birds stay in one hemisphere but go farther. For example, the wandering albatross spends most of its life aloft, circling the world over the southern oceans. It stops only to breed on storm-swept islands near Antarctica. A wandering albatross might fly 30,000 kilometers, that's 18,000 miles, between breedings.
But the farthest flyer is the Arctic tern, an elegant white seabird. It breeds on the shores of the Arctic Ocean in northern hemisphere summer, and it feeds over the southern oceans half a year later in southern hemisphere summer. North American Arctic terns fly about 40,000 kilometers or 24,000 miles each year, about equal to the distance around the Earth.
An Arctic tern can live for 25 years, so in its lifelong quest for summer, it can fly a million kilometers, nearly three times the distance from the Earth to the Moon. Thanks for your question, Sophia. And with thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
You.
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I'm calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
I'm a war president.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. Good morning, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, hipsters and hipster haters, and of course Republicans, because we are in your house this morning.
What was that you just did?
What do you mean?
That sound I heard.
What was that? That was the bong hit noise.
Okay. Well, I don't know anything about drugs.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I don't know nothing about that.
I know, man.
I'm in Madison Square Garden with the Republicans.
So here we are. Yeah, I know. You don't need to be high to feel freaked out here. It's unbelievable. I went down on the floor yesterday. I got this new plush red carpet. You know what I mean? I had that moment. Like, wow, this is nice. Wait a minute. Where am I? This is bad and evil. Oh, look at this carpet. Wow, that's a nicer podium than they have at the DNC. Hey, shut up.
Hey, yeah, you've been thinking about defecting for some time, haven't you?
No, I'm not defecting.
You're
going to
jump ship like Dennis Miller.
Well, here's how I really started thinking, to be honest with you. It's like I looked at the podium, the podium, and I thought, like, you know, I guess there's a lot of Republican cabinet makers. You know, like I started to sort of break down the crafts.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, like the what would you call it? What are cabinet makers? They're cabinet makers. It's a craftsman.
Yeah.
Are craftsmen, you know, by and large Republican or Democrat? And I started to work this in my head, and then Larson goes, come on, let's go, you're drifting. You know? Because it was after we did the show already. And you apparently afterwards. See, I had to go home and deal with the feral cat population that now inhabits my kitchen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just want one of them to like me. I just want one of them to
give
like me.
Give them another couple of days and some more solid white tuna, and they'll love you. Trust me.
I'm going to go. I'm not giving them solid white tuna. I've got to give them kitten food because, you know, they probably need it. They're all, you know, malnourished. Today I'm going to go home and try and trap the mother to get her fixed, because that was the whole agenda to begin with, is to stop this thing from spreading. It's got nothing to do with anything, but I'm trying to draw an analogy between my presence at home and my presence here. I'm trying to stop this horrendous, you know.
Are you trying to neuter some Republicans?
Yes, infestation of Republicanism in the country. I'm trying to stop that.
I understand very clearly. Yeah, you know, you guys got to go down to the floor yesterday.
Right. Where did you go? And tell us the scoop on that real quick. Oh, we got to do her now? Is that what we're going to do? Jonathan Larson holding things up. You wanted to? We're going to talk about. You went to a Democratic. They're going to have a press conference, a war room press conference every day.
Every morning at 10. And yesterday it was Brendan and Mark's Great Adventure.
So we're going to. You're the Mark. You're talking about yourself in the third person.
That's right.
So we'll talk about that after our guest. Our guest comes from a powerful political family. Her brother Robert was the Secretary of Commerce under Bush Sr. Her oldest brother Emil was the Chief of Protocol of the State Department from 1969-1972 during the Nixon administration. She is a Republican for Kerry. She has been a Republican for more than 50 years, ever since she first registered to vote. Her whole family is Republican, but now Barbara Mosbacher is changing sides, and she's going to tell us why. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So why are you jumping ship, Barbara?
Because I'm a pro-choice Republican.
Yes.
And I believe in reason over religious fundamentalism.
Yes.
I believe women with no reproductive freedom have no economic freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And this administration has taken money from international family planning and put it into abstinence-only programs.
Right.
And they keep sexually active youngsters from getting sex education programs because they're not allowed to teach sex education. when they receive the money for abstinence only.
And that doesn't help anything, doesn't stop anybody from doing anything.
No, alas, it does not. Also, stem cell research, which I just can't even, I think it's unconscionable not to support that. And the federal judges
that
this administration has appointed.
It's almost medieval.
They're absolutely, they're all, well, there's a litmus test, obviously. They're all anti-choice. And all we need is one more Supreme Court justice to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yes.
And so,
it's bad. How does President Bush compare to the Republicans you grew up admiring? Because you've been a Republican for so long. And
yeah.
Like this.
You're right about that. Yes. Well, of course, I'm a Rockefeller Republican.
Uh-huh.
And the Republicans I know and love have been in New York.
Yes. Yes.
Like Giuliani.
Oh, yeah.
Mayor.
Yeah.
Our current mayor and Pataki, who are all pro-choice and pro-environment.
So you're primarily coming from the you know, fiscally conservative, and ideologically they stay out of people's business.
Yes, thank you very much, and certainly out of their bedrooms.
Yeah, yeah, I certainly wouldn't want any of George Bush's cabinet in my bedroom.
No, no, I think you're right about that. And then there's the over-the-counter emergency contraception, and they've stymied that. After all, you can get all the Viagra you need.
Yeah.
You can't get emergency contraception.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
What's wrong with this picture?
Absolutely.
Barbara Mustacher, I wanted to ask you about some of the people you just named who spoke at this Republican convention. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who also is pro-choice, is speaking.
Oh, yes.
You have difficulty reconciling this moderate part of the party with the conservative platform that speaks against abortion?
How do I reconcile it?
Well, I mean, do you have trouble reconciling the fact that there are some moderates in the party, but I guess from your vantage point, the president has decided to follow the conservatives?
Yes. Well, I think they have the moderates up front at this convention. Although I must say, I was shaken by the... I just read the paper by the Giuliani speech last night about Bush being such a great... leader in the war on terrorism, when this administration wasn't even able to keep the identity of a CIA operator secret.
Right. So that now Giuliani also, I think, was politicizing 9/11 a bit. How do you feel about that?
Well, obviously, I don't feel good about that. But
right.
Giuliani,
so Giuliani. Yeah. You used to like Giuliani.
I'm an admirer of his.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happens in politics sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now, are you going to stay a Republican then, or you think you're going to become a full-fledged Democrat?
No, I have several friends who have become full-fledged Democrats.
Do you still talk to them?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah, so you're not going to become one then?
And I think there'll be more Republicans at least coming out for John Kerry.
Oh yeah, well we're hoping that, you know, and it's certainly been great talking to you, Barbara. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Okay, you take care. That was Barbara Mosbacher. She's kind of funny.
She's feisty. And see, now it was interesting. She said she admired Giuliani,
but
she parted company with Giuliani over what he said last night. That's
about,
a very important distinction.
About 9/11 and about his admiration for this president.
For this president,
and then
yes.
She says, I don't understand what happens in politics sometimes. Well, I'll tell you what happens. Politics happens
with politics.
Isn't that unbelievable? And now also, you know, we also have the Log Cabin Conservatives, which is a group of gay conservatives who are now...
Republicans, not conservatives. Some of them are conservatives.
You know, gay Republicans. I guess it would be hard to be really gay and really conservative at the same time. I would imagine, just ideologically, that would cause more confusion than it probably caused you initially.
Identity.
Exactly. But we're going to talk about that because they are coming at it from the other plank. You've got the really conservative cats who are saying you guys aren't conservative enough, and then you've got the Log Cabin conservatives or Log Cabin Republicans on the other side saying you guys are getting too fringy, too conservative, and we're going to talk about that when we come back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
My mom. Welcome to Jen and Barry's Ice Cream. What flavor would you like, sir?
Hey there, I'll take a little of all 120 flavors, please.
That's, a lot to try, sir.
I got the car, I got the kids, and a hell of a long drive ahead.
Yeah,
who knows?
But...
I like chocolate, so maybe I'll like Super Mocha Fudge. Wrap it to go, kid. Time's a-wasting.
There's a lot to sample on Sirius. So this Labor Day weekend, surf around. You might just surprise yourself with something you never thought you'd like. Sirius. Find your favorites.
I hope it's not.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst.
There are fewer and fewer organizations that are using the printed ad, and one of the major reasons is that they typically get so many applications in that they can't manage them, and unfortunately, as a result of discarding some of them, they usually get people phoning up or getting in touch with them and saying, you know, you discriminated against me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a litigious society, and people said a good way to make some money is to say, you discriminated against me, didn't give me a chance at this job, and therefore I'm going to sue you. So people are using those printed want ads less and less and less. Typically, I think they're probably most useful if you're looking for a trade in a local area or a job in a local area. If you're trying to change your career or move to another area geographically, it doesn't work at all that way.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
We're back. Why don't you call us? 866-303-2270. This is Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
18 past the hour. Get going if you got to get going. You got to be out by 7:30 or 6:30 or 3:30 or 2:30, whatever 30 it is coming up for you. It is 18 past the hour now. Am I overdoing the time thing?
No, man.
Right now, look, I got to go to therapy on Thursday, and they're building up, dude.
Ooh.
They're building up. Here's my dream from last night. I'm protesting the Republican convention, the 1968 Republican convention. I've got a thick, woolly Jerry Garcia beard, dark red corduroy flares, but I've got the same glasses, man. Somewhere Hendrix is playing All Along the Watchtower. Oh, there he is, standing by that tree. There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. Abby Hoffman, wearing an American flag as a diaper, comes up to me and says, dude, didn't the riots happen at the Democratic convention? I said, yeah, Abby, but it's my dream, and so this time it's a Republican convention. Don't be so literal, man. Thousands of hippies are jammed together shouting, no war, no war, and pushing forward. If a bad smell could have stopped the war, we would have ended that sucker right then and there. The cops are standing shoulder to shoulder, getting nervous. Somewhere, somebody snapped, and then there are hippies running everywhere and screaming. Cops with nightsticks wailing away. It sounds like a watermelon being smacked with a 9-iron. I look over, and some cop is trying to hit Hendrix, who's swinging back at him with a burning Stratocaster. I'm running, too, and jumping over bodies like OJ running through the airport. I feel a hand grab me and spin me around. It's Dick Cheney. He raises his stick and cracks me on the head. After a while, I wake up and I'm laying on the grass holding my head. Right next to me is Jesus. He's bleeding too. I give Jesus an extra bandana. I say, hey, Jesus, does it always have to be like this? War and riots and anger? Doesn't anything ever change? Jesus takes it, blots it out his head. He says, nah. Anytime anybody with a beard asks for peace, somebody gets hurt. My advice, lose the beard. You'll live longer. I wake up and my bed is filled with Paul Revere and the Raiders. That was awkward. 866-303-2270. I need help. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Bruce.
You don't know about therapy, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I just got off the DNC bus tour, America Can Do Better thing they put together to go through four battleground states.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, man.
Yeah.
I did a blogger. I'm a retired firefighter from Virginia. And, they asked me to play, and I'm a Vietnam vet. So I had a bad idea. You know, when we started, I said, why don't we do a blog? You know, we'll kind of capture this thing. And then they said, sure, that's a great idea. Will you do it?
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, I'll do it. So we put it up. It's on the net. And anyway, I'm doing these profiles of all 70 people that got on this bus over the last 7 days and ended up in New York City. And, you know, man, the stories were just unbelievable.
What is the blog?
It's docdem.org, docdem.org.
Okay.
Bruce, you're from Virginia, right?
Yeah, Haymarket.
Oh, Haymarket. Okay, did you hear about this guy Schrock, the congressman?
I'll tell you what, I have not heard any news for 7 days. I've been on that bus. I'll tell you what.
Congressman Schrock, who is a Republican.
You're one congressman shy now.
Yeah, you're one congressman less in Virginia because he quit.
One congressman gay.
Yeah, because apparently a blogger, this should interest you, apparently was going to out him.
In Virginia?
In Virginia, yes, sir.
He's leaving.
Was he an R or a D?
He was an R.
He's an R.
But there's another R going in, but it was pretty interesting because the blogger said there are more forthcoming.
There are more to come.
I saw two pieces of news. One, I was in the hotel yesterday morning. I was on the Intrepid, which is in the harbor that the aircraft carry. I was on the flight deck, and I was going to go visit while I was in town because we got in Sunday, and I was going to, you know, just walk over.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Dick Cheney going to a reception on there, and I'll tell you, all my buddies, we lost it over there. I bet they're turning over in their graves.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing Dick Cheney on that boat.
Yeah, absolutely. The Chicken Hawk King.
Yeah, and I was watching the just a snippet of CNN last night at the airport while I was waiting to get home.
Yep.
And somebody's on the floor, and apparently some of these blankety-blanks are handing out Purple Heart Band-Aids that they're putting on the conventioners.
Oh, you're kidding me, man. You got to be kidding me.
I was so upset.
That makes me seethe right now. Purple Heart Band-Aids. What right do they have? You know, none of these guys who were in this cabinet served anybody. No, it's heinous. Purple Heart Band-Aids.
You know, I was telling some people on tour, I was on a job in the fire department down here for 23 years.
Yeah.
And there's two issues about this leadership stuff. I don't have to watch the convention. They're going to try to paint Bush is some kind of leader, and they're trying to say that Kerry's a flip-flopper. Well, you know, if I went to a fire, and if I had to wait outside for somebody to make a decision for 7 minutes about what we were going to do, that would not be a leader that I would follow.
Oh, yeah, a leader that was AWOL, a leader that, you know, got Lieutenant Governor Barnes to get him into the Air National Guard so he wouldn't have to go into the service.
I've got to check out that link, too. That's got to be hot.
Well, yeah, we're going to play that sound, I think. Did we keep it over from yesterday? I think that of Lieutenant Governor Barnes. We'll do it later. Thanks a lot for talking to us, Bruce.
Take care, Bruce. Keep up the good work, by the way.
Yeah, John in Australia, what's going on?
Hi, John.
You there?
Way down here, down under. How you doing?
We're pretty good, man. Thanks for listening down there.
We've had you on almost 24/7 since you went on air.
Oh, great.
And I'm involved with a group down here called Democrats Abroad. Have you ever heard of them?
I have now.
Okay, it's for all us expats.
Okay.
And we get together monthly and do voter drives for absentee ballots and whatnot. And we just actually had a video conference from Melbourne with former Ambassador Peterson, who was with Clinton. I think he was in Vietnam. Our ambassador to Vietnam. But I need a favor from you boys.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay.
Right.
I've been trying to get a hold of Janine, obviously, because people here know who she is.
Right.
She's appeared on a show down here called The Panel, which is a nationwide program. It's also simulcast on radio.
Okay.
And last week they had Matt Damon and Harry Shearer, and almost for 25 minutes they talked about nothing
but
American politics.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, wow.
Now, someone involved in our group is a freelance journalist for the station that carries it.
Okay.
Now, we reckon we'd like to do a cross, because we have only 2 weeks left to get people registered overseas.
All right, you got a website that we could do, or is there? What are you asking us to do?
Okay, I was wondering if we could try and cross to you guys from the television show tomorrow.
Right. Oh, wow.
Do a cross.
You're
with
on
what?
At the same time, even if it's via telephone.
Okay, you know what? Let me put you on the phone.
Web addresses.
I'm going to put you on the phone with our producer, and he'll let you know if we can work this out. How do we do
okay,
that, Jonathan?
Okay, for any overseas voters,
yes?
The website for Democrats Abroad is easy, www.democratsabroad.org, all lowercase, and anyone living overseas can get all the registration forms from that site and any information about their local chapters.
Yeah, they're encouraging people to vote absentee all over this country just to avoid having to deal with these paperless voting machines. Thanks for calling us, John.
Stay
on the line. Chris will take your number. Appreciate the call. Who are we going to next? Glenn? Is that who we're going to? Glenn, how are you, Glenn? What's going on?
Hey, Glenn.
Good morning. How you doing?
Pretty good. We're as good as we can be. We're inside the belly of the beast. We're in enemy territory.
Well, two quick ones. Bush says the war on terror is unwinnable.
Yes.
Hasn't he been telling us for the last year and a half we're winning? Is that a flip-flop or no?
Well, that's the trick. You know, it's a flip-flop, but it's also a trick. You know, he also said initially when he instigated this war that it would go on indefinitely. So I think the trick is to say we're winning and for it to go on indefinitely so he can stay, try and hold power. Because he's got this idea that if he thinks that people need him there in order to win this war, even though they don't, for some reason, a lot of them overlook the fact that he started it.
You know, we do have that piece of sound. Maybe we should play it if people haven't had a chance to hear it yet, because it was with Matt Lauer on the Today Show
yesterday.
Thanks
for calling, Glenn.
This is
the sound of Bush.
Of Bush being asked whether or not the war is winnable.
Well, why don't we hear the Barnes sound first? You know what I mean? Can't we hear that first?
Yeah, we can hear it first.
And then build that. This is a great thing. This is Ben Barnes, Lieutenant Governor Ben Barnes, who in the 60s, you know, or what is it, 1968 or 69? He was a guy that got Bush, you know, into the Air National Guard, the cushy position, you know, so he wouldn't have to go to Vietnam. Can we hear that, Chris?
They're talking about John Kerry and George Bush, and I know them both. I got a young man named George W. Bush in the National Guard when I was Lieutenant Governor of Texas, and I'm not necessarily proud of that, but I did it. I got a lot of other people in the National Guard because I thought that was what people should do when you're in office and you helped a lot of rich people. And I walked to the Vietnam Memorial the other day, and I looked at the names of the people that died in Vietnam, and I became more ashamed of myself than I've ever been, because it was the worst thing I did was help a lot of wealthy supporters and a lot of people who had family names of importance get in the National Guard, and I'm very sorry for that, and I'm very ashamed, and I apologize to you as voters in Texas.
Isn't that amazing?
This is the
guy who is now, you know, telling people to go, you know, die in Iraq. This is the guy who did everything he could with his money and his connections to avoid service. We'll listen to that Bush quote that Glenn was asking for, and thanks for the call, Glenn, you know, when we come back.
All right. Coming up, D.C. Councilman David Catania, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, The Liberal Confessional, and much, much more, including New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Meisterich. I'm a filmmaker and a citizen, not a politician. I believe passionately in the freedom of expression, an idea that is increasingly threatened by today's administration. Films play an important role in bringing social issues to the public, yet fewer films receive distribution today, especially those expressing an alternative point of view. 7 conglomerates now control which films you get to see. Film Movement and Air America Radio are trying to change all that. Subscribe to Film Movement at airamericaradio.com and receive a new, first-run film to own on DVD each month. Award-winning films with strong social messages. Important films such as Falling Angels with Miranda Richardson about the American family in the 1960s, and The Party's Over about the state of democracy in America. These films are exclusively available through Film Movement. We thank you for your support in our mission to bring alternative voices in film to America. Please visit airamericaradio.com and help make a difference.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It's day two of the Republican National Convention, and from all indications, the commute this morning to the city is just like day one. Many tri-state area residents opted to take the week off rather than deal with the expected congestion from the GOP. Rail riders have been leaving home early, an hour early in some instances, to deal with delays in the city due to security checks and other conditions. Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani was the star of the party last night with an emotion-filled address on why he supports the president. Giuliani stuck to this week's Republican script to talk about the Bush effort to combat terrorism, this as the president himself was telling a broadcast interview that America cannot win the war on terror. And the social conservatives of the Republican Party have again used their influence to define what the party's all about. Indications of that was most evident in the GOP platform, in which the party firmly opposed to legalize abortion, gay marriage, and other forms of legal recognition of same-sex couples. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
The Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions.
Bring in the convertible, Bob. Great idea.
The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now having a great time. The Smiths are still stuck. Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather, Sirius 150 to 159.
This is Earth and Sky. A listener writes, I've watched woodpeckers go to a tree, circle it, and then go to another, do the same thing, and then start pecking. How do they know which tree contains the insects they need to get to?
To know just which trees contain the insects they need for food, woodpeckers just might need a closer look. Some woodpeckers circle trees as they inspect them for signs that insects are inside. One of these signs might even be holes made by other woodpeckers.
Woodpeckers might also be able to actually hear insects living inside trees. Sometimes woodpeckers, like carpenters, tap on the wood surface and listen for a hollow sound. This sometimes tells them that an insect tunnel is right underneath.
Woodpeckers often have other reasons for pecking at trees, though. Sometimes they want to establish territory, attract mates, or just make a noise. So, do woodpeckers ever get a headache from all that pecking?
They don't, because their brains are relatively small. They don't have much cerebrospinal fluid to transmit shockwaves to their brain, and they have muscles in their skulls that act as shock absorbers. That's our show for today.
By the way, if you have an Earth or Sky question, we'd like to hear from you. Visit our website at earthsky.org. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, I'm Joel Block with Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky.
Good morning, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, who is nose deep in a jelly donut.
I love jelly donuts.
Listen, your wife right now is saying, why are they letting him eat those donuts? We're at the Republican National Convention here in Madison Square Garden. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 63. Leaders of Iraq. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's a little humid. I hear that your rock star cleric, Muqtadir al-Sadr, says he wants to get away from the violence and go into politics. Before you ask what's the difference, let me say a few words about religion and politics. Now, in America, we've never had a president from the clergy, though we have had a few presidents who thought they were God. Nixon comes to mind. Yes, exactly. Yes, that guy. Yes. But actually, you guys are ahead of the curve on this thing. A military religious leader is exactly what George Bush would like to be. But because of that stupid separation of church and state thing in the Constitution, he isn't allowed to. Iraq has done in 2 months what it's taken us 200 years to destroy. I think al-Sadr would make a great Ayatollah. He's confident, speaks well, and he can definitely energize the base. Uh-huh. I hear you. Yep, I hear you. And not too many men can pull off wearing a cape, but he makes it work. So, and don't worry about, look, contradicting the tenets of democracy by having a religious leader. No matter who's in office, your country is going to be guided by some powerful nutjob zealots. So you might as well elect the one everybody's heard of. al-Sadr in 2005. It's never too early to start fundraising. Okay, yep. Until then, good luck and God bless. This is Day 63 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Right now on the phone we have the openly gay Washington, D.C. council member. He was part of the Austin 12, a group of gay activists that informally advised the Bush campaign in 2000 on gay issues. Last week he endorsed Kerry in an opinion piece in the Washington Blade. David Catania, how are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Nice to have you back.
Well, look, it's a pleasure. I actually was on your colleague's show yesterday, so...
Oh, good. So you're getting a lot of play here on Air America.
I feel like I'm Air America's primary of programming. Sooner or later, you guys will tire of my sarcasm and move on.
No, because then we're only left with our own sarcasm. Hey, David, we want to play a bit of sound from our president last night. We give a listen and react to it?
Sure.
Okay, Chris?
Do you really think we can win this war on terror?
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world. Let's put it that way.
What do you make of that?
Well, you know, I think the people around him probably had a minor coronary when he said that. You know, oh Lord, don't let him off on his own because he's liable to tell the truth.
That's right.
And you know, look, I mean, what's so sad about this, and I really don't want to degenerate into personal attacks on the president, because I really think...
No, please do.
But, you know, I mean, I'll leave that to you all. I mean, as a person, I mean, I don't want to disintegrate him as a person, but
okay.
I think his policies certainly leave a lot wanting. And, you know, I mean, he is such a... His policies are such a betrayal on some of the individuals he claims to care so much about and model his presidency after. I mean, deep in their hearts, they like to compare themselves to Teddy Roosevelt, and I was reminded recently, I was rereading Teddy Roosevelt's, you know, Speak Softly and Carry a Big Stick speech.
Right.
You know, and this Bush White House has completely forgotten the first part about speaking softly, which was Teddy Roosevelt's primary purpose of that speech. It wasn't the big stick. It was the need to be humble in international affairs. And Roosevelt was very clear. He said, if you lack humility and if you speak with bravado and swagger, you're going to invite trouble that will endure and will necessitate a bigger stick.
That's genius. He said that?
Of course.
It's amazing how these guys take stuff out of context when they want to use it for their own means.
Yeah, so speaking softly and carry a big stick for Roosevelt, you know, who loved this country more than anything, it was avoiding trouble was the primary emphasis. But if trouble were to come through your humility, if trouble were to come, then you needed to prepare yourself and, of course, you needed to win. And here we have a White House that is, you know, I guess it's swagger and piss people off is the motto, and I mean, and then nuke them.
And the arrogance, it's just unbelievable. We want to talk to you about the ban on gay marriage and the amending the Constitution issue right when we come back. So stay with us for a minute, and we'll be back with David Catania on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is KFBL. How can I help you?
Have you got the 49ers game this week?
No, sir. We only broadcast our one local NFL game.
What about the Giants? You got New York?
No, just...
All right, now, Cleveland, I'm from Cleveland.
Sir, we can't.
Okay, but will you have the Dallas call?
No, you will only get our home team call.
All right, Minnesota...
Every NFL game, every week, everywhere.
Sir...
With the call from both sides. Exclusively on Sirius NFL Radio. For the full game broadcast schedule, go to Sirius.com.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tramike asked the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Research shows that the highest achieving students attend schools with good library media centers. It's easy to see why. School library media centers across the country have been helping teachers bring lessons to life. with computers, videos, books, and more for years. The Campaign for America's Libraries reminds you that school library media specialists help students develop the information searching skills they need to succeed throughout their lives.
All systems ready.
Cool.
Lifelong learning begins at your library.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I want the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on.
This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
And then I was able to orbit the Earth in a great big rocket ship.
This is retired Senator John Glenn volunteering as a mentor, giving kids the benefit of his rich experiences. And this is retired Senator Bob Dole sharing his.
No, I never actually met Brittany.
To find out how you can answer President Bush's call to service, go to usafreedomcorps.gov or call 1-877-USA-CORPS.
When you help your neighbors, you help your nation. Everyone can do something.
This public service message brought to you by USA Freedom Corps and the Ad Council.
We're back. It's 40 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition. You're listening to Air America on the phone. David Catania is with us, the openly gay Washington, D.C. council member. Now, last night, David, the log cabin Republicans put it to the Bush campaign a little bit, and this is on the issue of the constitutional ban on gay marriage. What I want to know is, why are there still gay Republicans who support his reelection at all?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because, you know, 2004 is a very different time than 2000. 2000, we had the rhetoric about compassion, conservatism, and uniter, not a divider. You know, I was joined by 11 gays and lesbians in Austin. We made requests, promises were made, promises were, you know, kept in some respects and not in others. But, I mean, now we know a very different George Bush. Now we know what he really is. And, you know, especially with the open advocacy of the federal marriage amendment, it's one thing. I mean, the last convention had anti-gay flat planks, but, I mean, that's really the province of kooks and cranks, right? They write nutty things in platforms. They do it in the Democratic platform, the Republican platform. And nobody really pays much attention to it. It's only when the president picks those issues up and owns them that one should be concerned.
Well, people are concerned that he is ceding too much power to this part of this the ultra conservative religious right. And I agree. Absolutely. The Loud County Republicans put out an ad. I mean, and you're a Republican who's voting for Kerry. I mean, do you
absolutely
think there's a possibility that a lot of these guys are going to jump ship?
Well, you know, I think that Bush will be lucky. I mean, I think you've got the hardcore believers, you know, who went to New York. I mean, you know, as a member of the bar, I'm not allowed to participate in fraud, so I skipped the New York convention. I like to say they put the con in convention, and I thought, well, forget it, I'm not going. But you know, I think some hardcore believers who have been lobotomized will be supporting Bush, but no one else will. And, you know, the recent interesting triangulation was this Cheney remark in Iowa. I mean, it was a scripted question. It was a scripted answer.
Yes.
And it was given the day that they were to drop this absolutely homophobic platform on the American public. And
the one where he talked about his daughter?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, and I was thinking, I came out of my seat when I heard him say that. I said, wait a minute. This is the man who less than a month ago cussed out a colleague on the Senate floor in defense of Halliburton. Remember the exchange with Leahy?
Sure.
Right. And so this is a man who would cuss a colleague out to defend Halliburton and yet has sat on his hands with his mouth shut while, you know, these kooks like Santorum openly disparage his daughter and equate her life with bestiality and incest and not a whisper.
Yeah. David Catania, let me ask you about the story that's broken in the papers, I guess, today. Congressman Ed Schrock from Virginia, a Republican, has resigned in the wake of a blogger threatening to out him. What's your response to that?
You know, I mean, look, people live desperate lives. You know, they do. They live desperate lives. And, you know, of course, it's a very personal issue to his family, and I don't want to make hay out of someone's personal misery. But, you know, this is an individual who has been notoriously anti-gay. And, you know, it does test my restraint when people are openly anti-gay and yet privately participate every chance they get. It's like all of the burdens and none of the benefits in reverse. And so, you know, he's not the only one. And what, you know, and what I've been very restrained in doing, I mean, I've been hanging around these circles in a neutralized level. And I could talk about the family members of very senior people in this administration and the RNC, and I watch with disgust as they betray their families on a daily basis. I mean, it's important to note that what family values means to a lot of these people, it means they don't value their families enough to defend them, in fact, openly disparage them.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. The and the karmic return is brutal. Thanks a lot, David. We really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, Mark, anytime.
Okay, you take care. We'll be back after this break with the Mayor Bloomberg and the Liberal Confessional, so stay with us on Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
Add $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Serious? Hi, this is KFBL. How can I help you?
Have you got the 49ers game this week?
No, sir. We only broadcast our one local NFL game.
What about the Giants? You got New York?
No, just...
All right, now, Cleveland, I'm from Cleveland.
Sir, we can't.
Okay, but will you have the Dallas call?
No, you will only get our home team call.
All right, Minnesota...
Every NFL game, every week, everywhere.
Sir...
With the call from both sides. Exclusively on Sirius NFL Radio. For the full game broadcast schedule, go to Sirius.com.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation. RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. Mark Maron here with Mark Ryla on Air America Radio.
Hi.
It's morning sedition time at the Republican National Convention. Bill Bennett was looking at me weird a minute ago.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. I don't know what it meant. Maybe I'm reading into it.
What are the odds?
I started to think he heard us making fun of his, he's one of those, the great examples of hypocrisy within the Republican Party. When we were talking to Catania,
David Catania,
it's interesting. I forget about that word triangulation. See, I think that, they've transcended flip-flopping by just, having two completely different points of view within the party itself, and that is exactly what triangulation is. So they're a spiraling triangle is what they are doing. It's pretty amazing that I really know. I wonder if the ultra conservatives would ever detach themselves from the party. They certainly wouldn't become Democrats, but they might start a third party. You know,
they've made noise about that in the past. In '96, in particular, when they felt that they had been shut out of the convention, mm-hmm. there was a lot of noise. Remember that in '92, Pat Buchanan got up and essentially delivered a conservative manifesto to the delegates in Houston, Texas that year.
Randy Ruggs talked to him yesterday, and you know, he's not going to get involved with politics anymore. He's into writing books now, but he certainly feels that there's definitely this wedge within the party still.
Well, yeah, and there's going to continue to be this wedge, and the idea that they come with this whole, well, we're a big tent and we have all these diverse viewpoints, doesn't wash with everybody.
But
didn't wash with David Catania, didn't wash with the protesters yesterday.
But that's the attempt at the tip of the triangle, right? So they're saying that, you know, we have, you know, on one side we have these fiscal conservatives who believe in not intruding or, you know, small government. On the other side you have these moral conservatives who believe in intruding on people's lives and also don't believe in big government. Then you have, you know, the actual administration, which is secretly making government bigger but trying to appease these two parties. And there you have the big triangle. Which is so confusing that, you know, I don't know the message. I don't know what it is. Right now, we have on the phone the mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Mark and Mark.
Good morning. How you doing?
Nice to talk to you.
It's a little bit early for you guys and me, but every morning we do this. And...
Oh, yeah. We've been up for a while. Don't worry.
So have I.
Are you nervous about any sort of protesting, unsanctioned protesting activity going on today, either in Central Park or anywhere in the city, Mayor?
No. I mean, we have, I think, all the resources. There will be a handful of unscheduled protests, and we'll get our resources there. There are a bunch of protests that are scheduled, and that's easier for us because we can get ready for it. But we've been working for 18 months expecting a handful of anarchists, and... what you see here is most people really are expressing themselves, behaving responsibly.
Creatively.
Yeah, creatively. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
And they're not trying to take away anybody else's rights. But the handful of people who've come here to break the law are going to find they came to the wrong city.
Right. They should have went to the theater.
Mr. Mayor, we look at the Republican platform that was adopted yesterday. You
yep.
welcomed the convention to New York City yesterday. I know that you don't hold a lot of the views that the platform does, particularly in areas, for example, like abortion, like same-sex marriage. How do you reconcile that as a Republican politician, a politician who's put a good deal of his own personal money into this convention, and you got a platform that is really against what you have articulated as your core values?
Mark, I think you have two choices. You can either walk away from things you don't like, or you can stay there and try to change them. And when I was a Democrat, I didn't agree with everything in every Democratic platform, and I don't agree with everything in the Republican Party platform, but I'm trying to go out there and change this party, and I'd be happy to try to change. I did before try to change the Democratic Party, too. I think neither party is as inclusive as they should be. I think everybody, if your vote is taken for granted, you're not going to get any services, so it's in the party's self-interest to be inclusive, but it's really in the country's interest.
What specific things about the platform run counter to your beliefs?
Well, just take a look at what I've been doing this week. I'm hosting today an event for pro-choice Republicans. I went the other day and spoke at a pro-gay rights group of Republicans. I hosted a group of Latino congressmen and members of the Republican Party. I don't think anybody questions what I stand for in terms of my social values. And it has little to do with party labels. Maybe it has something to do with geography. I hope not. I think what we've got to do is make sure that all Republicans and all Democrats understand that every party should be open to everybody. And I never thought that the government should be there telling you what to do in your personal life. I've always been a believer in adults being able to do anything they want as long as they don't hurt anybody else or take anybody else's rights away. That's the fundamental standard that I use.
Mayor Bloomberg, any chance that you'll vote for Kerry?
I have said, Mark, that I would support President Bush. I think the number one issue, Ed Koch really said it very well, the number one issue is the war on terrorism. And we've just seen back in the teens, back in the 30s, we've seen it leading up to 9/11. If you constantly turn the other cheek with terrorists, they will constantly build up their attacks and come after you more. Bush, I guess nobody likes war, but fundamentally I think that fighting terrorism is something that you have to do, and I've said I will support Bush, and when I say something, I do it.
Now, Mr. Mayor, does that mean that you support what your predecessor said yesterday, which was in essence to tie Iraq directly to 9/11?
I don't know if there's a tie between Iraq and 9/11. There is clearly a tie between Iraq and terrorism.
And now after we attack.
No, before this. I mean, keep in mind, Saddam Hussein gassed tens of thousands of his own citizens.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda.
A good guy.
No, he's not a good guy, clearly, but I don't know about the connection to terrorism. It hasn't been proven if the 9/11 Commission is to be believed.
I don't think there's much question that a handful of countries have been supporting terrorist activities or turning the other cheek. And you just can't continue to do that, Mark. If we are going to be able to go about our business looking without looking over our shoulder, you have to go strike out against terrorists. And I wasn't there when George Bush had to make the tough decisions. I didn't have the intelligence he does. But that's what he was elected to do, to make tough decisions. And history will decide whether it was the right one or the wrong one, but I'm sympathetic in that you stand there alone, and in the end, you got to decide what to do.
Mr. Mayor, there's been a lot discussed about how well the federal government has dealt with the city of New York, particularly in terms of September 11th reconstruction money, development money. There's some people who say that George W. Bush, for all that you've done for him, has done shockingly little for the city of New York.
But Mark, look, there's two things. One, Bush is the leader, but Congress is the one that votes the money. In all fairness to both of them, they promised $20 billion. Our independent budget office, which is not running for mayor against me, or not me running for mayor, our independent budget office said, we're going to get the $20 billion. Some of the programs that we asked for take years before you ever really need the money. The federal government has come through on schedule every time, and in fact, there is one part of what we asked for, what we asked for, turns out we're not going to be able to use. We've asked Congress to change that and swap in that kind of a tax break for something else. The president has come out in support of that. I think Congress will give us that change, which is what we want. So in terms of the monies to rebuild after 9/11, they can't give us back the 2,800 lives, but the money they promised is there, is coming through, and to suggest it's not is just not being honest with everybody. In terms of Homeland Security, the government's record is nowhere near as good. They have distributed an awful lot of money based on population and votes and everybody getting a little bit of pork barrel when that money should be going out based on where the risks are.
Mayor Bloomberg,
yep.
We don't have much time left. I just want to ask you, what's your impression of how New Yorkers feel about 9/11 being so politicized by your predecessor?
I think that it's a defining moment in this country's history in New York. Just as is the Vietnam War, and it was inevitable. Kerry talked about the war. He said, I'm reporting for duty. Bush is going to talk about his record. He was on watch during and after 9/11.
Right.
It'd be irresponsible not to talk about it.
But he's not going to talk about the 7 minutes he waited for second graders to finish reading a story.
you sit there and until you really know what's going on. So, yeah, if you told me what all the facts were, I could make the decisions easy. The real problem is you never have all the facts.
Final quick question, Mr. Mayor. Are there going to be any cigar parties here in New York that you'll be attending?
I will not be attending any cigar parties, and as long as you have them outside, you don't have a problem. When you have inside and force somebody else to smoke, you do.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mayor Bloomberg.
We appreciate it, sir. You take care.
Anytime. Goodbye.
Okay,
all right.
Bye.
Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition.
Yeah, we've got
a whole bunch
of people. Ben Cohen from Ben & Jerry's and Chris Conroy, Sean Conroy, the comedian, and the Liberal Agenda, and me and Mark. So come back.
Yeah.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. There's no end to the level of protest activity aimed at the delegates of the Republican National Convention and party leaders in New York City this week. There's word now that many involved in the protest are turning their attention to the very venues where the delegates are staying, and in some instances dining, to get their message of opposition across. Apparently the demonstrators are changing their strategy because they've been stymied in previous efforts by local law enforcement. More protest demonstrations are scheduled today as the convention continues. A poor people's march yesterday against Bush and his policies reportedly led to several arrests after a police officer was reportedly stomped to the ground. Grand Ole Party has given a seal of approval to a platform that essentially promotes the president's agenda with respect to national security, domestic issues, and energizing the conservative base of the party. Republicans in its 93-page document confirmed its opposition to legalize abortion, gay marriage, and other forms of same-sex coupling. It's in a sharp contrast to what the Democrats have been promoting for its fall campaign. Democratic Party leadership immediately denounced the Republicans as extremists and at odds with the moderate image the GOP is trying to project this particular week. GOP will hear from a newcomer to party politics in the keynote address tonight, Republican California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Longtime Republican and former Hollywood star is hoping to hit a responsive chord within the undecided. Some are expecting a passionate speech similar to the one delivered by former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani last night when he defended the Bush record on terrorism.
Elections do accentuate our differences. You know, let's make sure that we rekindle that spirit that we had, that we're one America. We're united to end the threat of global terrorism as one people.
Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. In other news, U.S. and Iraqi officials are discussing ways to step up aid to embattle Najaf in the Sadr City neighborhood in Baghdad. Officials have repeatedly complained that sabotage, fighting, and assassinations of government officials have badly hampered efforts to rebuild Iraq from years of war and crushing international sanctions. Rebel cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has called on his followers to end their uprising in Najaf, while the interim prime minister says Sadr City is receiving $115 million for water, electricity, sewer projects. Al-Sadr has backed off of the commitments in the past. Two French journalists held hostage in Iraq are calling on France's president to obey their kidnappers' demand. The kidnappers want the French government to rescind the ban on Muslim headscarves in schools. Government said yesterday it would not change the rule. Journalist Georges Malbruno said on a videotape broadcast by Al Jazeera that he's appealing to the French people to go to the streets because our lives are threatened. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions. The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now having a great time. The Smiths are still stunned. Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather. Sirius 150 to 159.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Old Glory makes my heart beat fast, but a glossy red, white, or blue custom cruiser really makes it race. When I come back, I'll paint the picture of what puts that gleam in my eye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they'd buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark.
July 4th may be a celebration of independence, but when it comes to a paint job that really sizzles, I declare that powder coat is king. In this process, a finely ground powder of pigment and resin is sprayed on an electrically charged surface, then sent through a curing oven for fusing, which produces a hard, smooth finish. The result is an all-American combo of shiny style and durable substance. But best of all, the process is green, as coating and cleanup create virtually no airborne emissions. So whether the glaze is red or white, it's always environmentally true blue. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this,
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt in my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Why don't they talk about the issue? We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
That's right.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Good morning, geniuses. It's Mark Maron here at the Republican National Convention with Mark Riley. This is Morning Sedition. You're listening to Air America Radio. How are you, Mark?
Yo, I'm
dude,
fine.
Dude, Andrew Card is at the next table talking to the Bloomberg guys. Wouldn't like, if we even had them on, if we had him on, what would we ask him? Like, you know.
How
we,
could you?
Well, no, me and Brenda were talking about, like, you could have got him to get up and go into the car. I mean, he didn't have to sit there and listen to the goat story for 7 minutes. He could have just said, you know, hey, Mr. President, listen, the goat saves the day and so can you. Let's go. We got to go. Tell the kids we got to go.
Hey, it was a great story. Great story. That's why.
<It's> like, look, everything works out at the end of the story. Let's get out of here.
Right.
Listen, hey, sometimes it's not easy being a liberal. We all stray from the straight and narrow progressive path from time to time. So when I need to unburden myself, I step into the Morning Sedition confessional. Bless me, Brother Riley, I have sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Brother Riley, I went to the protest Sunday. I marched. I showed solidarity for the cause. I was a good liberal, but...
But what?
But after a couple hours, I got hungry, man, and I split. You know, hey, guys, sorry, the world's going to hell, but I need lunch. I really would like to help, but I'm peckish. You dig?
You're making me hungry, but go on.
Well, look, what I'm saying is I fit the protest into my day and not the other way around. I guess what I'm asking you, Mark, is my commitment that shallow? When the going gets tough, Marin gets going? I mean, I hate people like that. It turns out I am that person. I'm weak. And I don't know where my spine is. Where's my spine? I mean, when it comes time to walk the walk, I'm like, my feet hurt. No, carry me, Mommy.
We're only human. Our ambition will always outweigh our capacity.
I wish I could believe that, man. I'll bet during the 1965 Civil Rights March from Selma to Montgomery, they didn't quit after 2 hours because they were tired. Hey, I'd really like to vote Dr. King, but I after my nap, okay?
Mark?
I mean, how can I tell people what to think when I can't give my all to the cause?
Mark, be cool. Breathe.
All right.
You're not a bad person for having limits. Dostoevsky said, a good cause is not ruined by a few mistakes. Endurance is a habit like any other.
Yeah,
as your
yeah.
penance, the next time you march, stay 30 minutes more than mass time. Gradually, you will become the tireless warrior of the left you wish yourself to be. And P.S., you could pack a lunch.
Yeah.
The marchers at Selma didn't make it on faith alone. Two words, trail mix.
Yeah, protein. Yeah.
Exactly. Now go. And sin no more.
Amen. Don't by no means laugh at what we're saying here, Sean. I know it's all about you. You're sitting, my guests are sitting here. I've known this guy for years. He resents me deeply.
Very much.
He's a very funny man, you know, and we worked on a show together.
Until I got fired.
Yeah, but I had nothing to do with that.
Well, I don't know.
So you say.
Sean Conroy, he's going to be joining other comedians participating in Unconventional Humor at Chicago City Limits tonight. It's part of the Imagine 2004 Festival being held this week in New York City. He's performed stand-up comedy on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, Comedy Central's Premium Blend, and late Friday on NBC. He was fired from Nevermind the Buzzcocks, which was a show that I was look, the whole thing got canceled.
I lasted one episode, Mark.
I had nothing to do with that, and we didn't show that episode. He appears regularly at Luna Lounge, Tinkle, and Stand Up New York. His one-man show, Taut, was selected for the 2001 HBO U.S. Comedy Arts Festival in Aspen, Colorado. That's a hell of an intro, Sean.
Yeah, boy, you got a lot of info.
Well, what do you got? How does it feel to be in the belly of the beast
here? It's great. It took me about 9 hours to get through all the security here.
What'd you do, frighten them out there? What'd you have, like 16 umbrellas?
They just kept on telling me to go another block. Just keep going another block before you can go uptown, you know?
It's part of the strategy. Anyone who doesn't look like you, they just bring right in. But they're right. Look, he's got one of those goatee things, and he seems like
trouble. Did they run your glasses through the metal detector?
They did not. They let me, wear them in, I was very excited about that.
Andrew Card's looking at me weird. Don't look over there, man. Just be cool.
Do you have fights between the radio stations here?
Bill Bennett literally came over here and kissed Mark Riley's ass.
Yeah, nice. I don't know why either.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I was going to jump off the top of the building, but it's not that far.
And we had just gotten done with 10 minutes of mocking his gambling problem.
Oh, really?
And he just gets up in his silly shorts, weighing about 400 pounds, because clearly he's replaced his addiction with something more.
He looks like a down lineman now or something. He looks like one of those. He looks like the refrigerator.
Oh, man, now he's
a guy who's let himself slide a little bit.
I've got in my periphery, I got Andrew Card in one eye, and I got Bill Bennett in the other eye, and my brain's about to explode.
By the way, you know that Amen we just did leaked over into their conversation.
Is that why they bowed their heads?
Yes.
Sean, don't you jump in any time.
I'm just saying, you guys are both looking at all the interesting stuff, and I'm stuck kind of looking at you guys. So,
so tell me about this gig tonight. Should I come down? What is that?
Whoa! There's a spaceship.
Something's happening.
Uh-oh.
Dale, something happened in our head.
Well, that's okay.
We're okay
now.
Oh, was that the vibrator on the mic? Is that what that was? That was wild.
Man. I haven't heard a sound like that since the last time I tripped, which was many years ago.
Really?
Yeah, remember I told you the thing about the lawnmower?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Hold on, I still hear it, don't you?
No.
No, I'm the only one?
Yeah, I hear it.
Oh,
yeah.
See,
I guess
you mentioned tripping, and I got a kickback from something I did in 84. So tell us about this show.
It's a comedy show. You've seen those.
You mean where they have stand-up comedians and a host
people
and whatnot?
People get up, and they start talking, and the audience occasionally laughs.
Very occasionally with you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got him. Thanks, Judy.
Well, yeah, listen, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to the bedroom while you guys fight it out.
You know what? What's
why
the
are you being mean? Because, you know.
Because you sort of implied.
I know deep down you're a good person.
You sort of implied that I had something to do.
No, I know you had nothing to do with that.
Show was that a disaster.
Yeah. But what's hilarious about it to me is that they thought by firing me after the first episode they would save the show.
No,
and yet the entire thing still got canceled.
Yeah, that's hilarious to me. But you know what? We both made a little bit of money, didn't we?
Well, my favorite thing was the first day you showed up. And
let me explain what we're talking about. Nevermind the Buzzcocks was a show that two people saw. It was a very shameful thing to me because I was at this point in my career where I wanted to stay in New York. I had nothing going on, and I was going broke because I had just gotten divorced. And they called me up, and they said, you want to host this very sardonic pseudo game show? And I'm like, I got no choice.
Right.
Yes, okay, go ahead.
But so the best thing about it to me was showing up the first day, and we're surrounded by all the producers and the people involved with creating the show and whatever, and standing outside the elevator, and Mark just starts going, can you believe my life has come to this?
That's the same thing he said the day he walked in the door in Air America.
He's probably been saying it for a long time everywhere he goes.
I say it every morning.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I say, and now I've got these four cats in my apartment that hate me. All right, so it's a comedy show specifically in reaction to the convention?
I think it is in reaction to the convention, but that doesn't necessarily mean that either A, everybody will be doing political material, or B, if they are doing political material, it will be necessarily of a particularly liberal bias. I just don't know.
So you think there's some conservative comics going on? Who's on?
I don't think there's some necessarily conservative comics. Although I have to tell you, Mark, in the interest of full disclosure, I am a registered Republican.
Are you serious?
Yes.
But how can you be a registered Republican and be a comedian worth your salt?
Well, because I'm not really committed to it. You know, it's just kind of something I've been since I was
Did you
a
vote
kid.
For George Bush?
No.
Okay, so?
Ronald Reagan?
Too young. I wasn't.
Bob Dole?
No.
You going to vote for John Kerry?
Don King?
I don't know that I'm going to vote for Kerry, but I can tell you that I will not be voting for George Bush. So I did vote for Don King, but that was in a
secret
a
election.
Poll. Yeah. I still don't know what he's running for.
It doesn't matter.
For him,
he's
yeah.
Don King. They had Sharpton on last night on CNN.
Really?
Yeah, he was good.
Was he on with Ralph Reed?
He was on by himself? He was on by himself.
Wow. They had him critiquing the convention?
Yeah, I didn't completely tune into what he said, but it was basically, you know, he said, you know, Al Sharpton.
Barrett is completely distracted because somebody opened the donut box and his eyes are now
trained. Yeah, well,
his
eye
is on the sparrow, folks.
No, I'm focused on it, too.
I don't know. You can have a donut.
Yeah,
so
man,
who else is on the show? Dan Cronin?
Yes.
Who also was working with us on Buzzcocks?
That's right. He was
mad at me
he
for a long
time. He kept
his
job. He did not get fired.
Yeah, but he ended up hating me.
Well, you know, that goes around.
I know. So what do you think of Kerry?
I'm not completely impressed.
Yes.
At this point,
yeah.
I feel like the general feeling I get is that he's still running not to lose, not necessarily to win. Like he's not.
Come on! The guy's a war hero. He's got vision. He's gonna make it harder for corporations.
He was a hero because he blew himself up.
Whoa!
Hold it!
Whose team you on? Listen, he didn't blow himself up. You don't get three of those medals and three purple hearts.
No, I know. I think what he did was great. That's fantastic. I don't care really what people did 35 years ago. I care what they're doing now.
Did you hear that speech that he gave to the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations in reaction to the war in Vietnam when he became an anti-war guy? Did you listen to
that speech? No, I wasn't
this
there.
This is what this guy built his, you know, he is built on a certain
wasn't there. He wasn't
in,
born then.
Integrity.
He was 71.
Oh, I was born.
Oh, you were born? Oh,
I was 35
we played the whole thing here.
You
know, Kerry, I think Kerry's a good guy. I think you should rethink it. Because if that means you're leaving yourself only a couple options, either Nader, Kerry, or not voting at all. And if you don't vote at all, I don't know, I think that's the wrong thing to do.
Oh, no, I'll definitely vote. No doubt about it.
Okay. You write his own name and you can do that.
Yeah. I have thought about running. Or maybe I'll just write Don King.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, why don't you call us, 866-303-2270, and we'll talk to more of Sean Conroy, like you have more of you. There's more of Sean Conroy coming in a minute. Got stuck in security. The part that's definitely voting for Kerry and the part that is funny will be here in a few minutes. So we'll see you on the other side of this break on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Hi, I'm Larry Meisterich. I'm a filmmaker and a citizen, not a politician. I believe passionately in the freedom of expression, an idea that is increasingly threatened by today's administration. Films play an important role in bringing social issues to the public. Yet fewer films receive distribution today, especially those expressing an alternative point of view. Seven conglomerates now control which films you get to see. Film Movement and Air America Radio are trying to change all that. Subscribe to Film Movement at airamericaradio.com and receive a new, first-run film to own on DVD each month. Award-winning films with strong social messages. Important films such as Falling Angels with Miranda Richardson about the American family in the 1960s. And The Party's Over about the state of democracy in America. These films are exclusively available through Film Movement. We thank you for your support in our mission to bring alternative voices in film to America. Please visit airamericaradio.com and help make a difference.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Trey, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, They thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out.
I just thought the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
What's up? We're back. It's Mark Maron, Morning's Edition. I'm with Mark Riley here.
Where?
At the Republican National Convention. This is Air America Radio. Sean Conroy is with us. He's a comedian. The event is tonight. It is called, what is it called? It's called Unconventional...
Stand-up Comedy.
It's called Stand-up Comedy. Smart. All right. That's all right. Yeah, so that's somewhere in New York. Good luck getting tickets. It's at Chicago City Limits tonight. It's part of the Imagine 2004 Festival here in New York City. Have you crashed any events or done anything Republican National Convention?
Well, last night I had a show right around here, actually. And after the show, we were looking for a bar,
right?
As comedians are wont to do, as
you know, for food.
Yeah.
Liquor food.
And we just happened to walk by Manhattan Center, which is on 34th Street between 8th and 9th.
Yeah.
There was a big Republican party going on in there.
Just crashed.
And we just went in and, you know, drank all their alcohol and ate all their food, and Travis Tritt was playing, so that was delightful. When he stopped playing around 12:30. I tried to start a chant of four more songs, but
it didn't
did it not work, but people didn't particularly seem amused by it, you know.
How come that, well, that's exciting. It's I'm sorry. I just responded to somebody sticking something in my face.
Yes.
On the phone, we have a Vietnam veteran who serves in Kerry Swiftboat. He's a retiree from Pinellas County, Florida. You know, listeners might remember him as the veteran who wore his leather biker vest when he was on stage with John Kerry at the Democratic National Convention. Del Sandusky, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. It's pretty wild. We're in the belly of the beast here, Del. We're at the Republican National Convention.
So am I.
Are you? Are you around? What have you been doing?
I'm here at a hotel. I was over at the convention last night.
Uh-huh.
I walked in and stood in the hallway and listened. I looked peeked in, and half of the seats are empty. It's nothing like the Democratic convention.
I know. I noticed that when I was watching, too. When we get here, all of the seats are empty.
Yeah.
It's 4 in the morning, but, you know, I watched on TV. Now, they definitely don't have the same electricity or the same, you know, excitement.
Yeah, I know. It's quiet. It's kind of boring compared.
Yeah. Now, so you heard about these guys who were handing out these Band-Aids with purple hearts on them?
I think it's ridiculous. It's degrading.
Real insult.
I can speak for all the veterans in America, you know, that does nothing for our image. You know,
no, it's horrendous.
A veteran gets a purple heart, you know, and they deserve it, and these people are making a mockery of it.
Now, who exactly is doing this? I mean, we see him here.
I saw a lady on TV yesterday. I think MSNBC picked it up, or that's what I heard. And some lady was walking around the convention. And, you know, it's a shame because, you know, I know a lot of Republicans are, you know, veterans. And you know, why didn't somebody ask this lady, you shouldn't really be doing this?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that we've talked to some other veterans, though. And a lot of people believe, as you, I think, said, is that, you know, if you're going to insult his, you know, the integrity of his medals, you're insulting all veterans.
Exactly. You know, they're insulting Bob Dole.
Yeah.
I have respect for Bob Dole.
Right, so now, what is your feeling about these Swift Boats for Truth guys? I mean, you know, you knew some of these guys. What's driving them? And they're obviously lying.
I don't know. We've been responding in the media for quite some time, and we just didn't get any coverage. All of a sudden, magically, a few weeks ago, when Bush's numbers started to drop, magic money all of a sudden came out of Texas, and now they've surfaced, and they've got TV time.
And we've been responding, you know, and we're just now getting some people like you, you know, to answer back and say, hey, this is ridiculous, you know. Did you read the Washington papers? Did you, you know, listen on TV?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
We've got John Kerry's got documentation. These guys have nothing but lies.
Yeah, and when we played, you know, Del, we took, you know, they took that speech that he made to the Committee on Foreign Relations completely out of context. And the day after, we played most of the speech in its entirety on our show, and it got a tremendous response.
Right.
Were you around for that?
Yeah, I had talked to John. He asked me to come and join the VVAW.
Uh-huh.
I was still on active duty. If I'd have went, they'd have put me in the brig.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We just had to stay quiet, some of us, because we were still in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But I fully agreed with John then. I agree with him now. I support John's position. 35 years I've known John Kerry. He's never lied to me. He said the first thing he's going to do is go clean up the mess in Iraq.
Dustin and Dusty, when we talk about the way veterans are treated, George W. Bush seems to have the support of an awful lot of veterans. But it seems, though, at least from the numbers that we get, that the reality of his support for veterans is a lot different than what he's projecting. How does it look from where you stand?
I don't know. I saw in the convention, you know, like we were said before, you know, the place looked half empty to me. And, you know, you could walk through the aisles, and in Boston you couldn't do it. You could not walk across the floor. You couldn't get in there and get an interview sometimes. And, it's a staged performance because they already know the outcome. There's going to be no surprises this week.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
Hey, hey,
hey. Hey, Del, thanks for joining us. Great talking to you.
Yeah, you too. When you guys are in Seattle?
Yeah.
I used to be stationed out there. I was on a reserve destroyer right downtown Seattle.
Oh, really? We're hoping to get up there soon. I'm going to be there this weekend at the Bumper Shoot Festival.
The weather's always better up there. This 90-degree stuff is different.
I know. I love Seattle. It's beautiful. Thanks a lot, Del. Take it easy.
Thanks, Del.
Bye.
We're going to talk to John. John in the Bronx. How are you, John?
John.
I had an idea for an easy, nonviolent demonstration that could last from now until the end of the convention.
Okay.
Basically, true blue Americans containing the red menace. And I would envision it as people dressed in blue, carrying placards, quiet, disciplined, even with kids from day and night carrying maybe blue lights at night, walking around, legally walking around the perimeter. And as the crowd grew, concentric circles around the convention center, following all the traffic rules and, you know, directions and everything.
Yeah.
And wearing blue. And, you know, quietly, you know, carrying placards and, you know, wearing rainbow hats or, you know, other identification for your particular issues.
All right, John. Well, maybe that'll motivate some
people.
Interesting
idea. Very interesting idea. I mean, the thing is...
Thanks for sharing that.
It seems like the Republicans that are here are in enough of a bunker anyway. I mean, you get a sense that these folks are, many of them are really, really nervous about being in New York.
You know what? I'm going to take this call. I don't even know what he's talking. Jim in San Diego, what's the problem? Jim?
Hey, Mark?
What's the problem?
Mark, it's Ken in San Diego, and I'll tell you what. First, I want to give a big up to KLSD in San Diego.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for being out here, because after you, we don't get you for a few more hours.
Okay.
Okay, but it's, hey, Air America Radio, I love you. Why did you take a dive on Bloomberg when you asked him about the seven-minute question? You just, like, let him waffle on you, and you walked away from it.
I hit him on another thing. I don't know if I walked away on it because of any reason of personal reason. I don't think we had that much time. But
we really didn't have a lot of time.
I mean, I was trying to hit him on the Iraq Al-Qaeda connection, which, you know, he sort of buckled on. I think we did the best we could with him, Jim. We didn't have much time. But it wasn't that I was afraid, certainly. Thanks for calling. Hey, I guess that's all the calls we're going to take. Sean, thanks for jumping in there.
Hey, anytime, Mark. I do the best. I do whatever I can to serve the
show.
I'm
like the worst nightmare of a comedian.
Yeah.
I do morning radio, you know, when I used to do it, when I go on the road, and I'm being such a nightmare to you, and I apologize. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what we were talking about with Del. We're going to talk a little bit about these campaign ads.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
with
that.
With Sean.
And we're also going to talk later on with Ben & Jerry's co-founder, Ben Cohen. And we've got the
again?
Little agenda for you. Yeah, again.
He's been on a while.
I'm
saying that in a good way. I like talking to Ben.
Yeah, he's good people.
Yeah.
And we've got the liberal agenda and so much more here on Air America Radio, live from Madison Square Garden. We'll be right back.
hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The demonstrators are planning to take to the streets again today around and near the center of the Republican National Convention in New York. Reports say some of them are changing their strategy by actually staging protests outside the hotels and apartments where many Republican delegates are staying. President's father told a broadcast interview last night that the Swift vote ads against his son's Democratic opponent are fair game. This because he feels that attacks on his son have been unfair. U.S. and Iraqi officials are discussing ways to step up aid to embattle holy city of Najaf and Sadr City in Baghdad. Officials repeatedly complained that sabotage, fighting, and assassinations of government officials have badly hampered efforts to rebuild Iraq from years of war and international sanctions. In Arizona, Republican Senator John McCain appears to be the flavor of the month in politics. Television ads for President Bush and Democratic presidential nominee Kerry feature McCain. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
George Conde, Robert and Dick, they're all in town to party. Conventions here, the delegates, pick your calls at grand authority.
Okay, can we make sure all the balloons drop this time?
Yes, sir, folks, it's the Republicans in the Big Apple, New York City, for their convention. RNC coverage from the left side on Sirius Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius OQ 149.
Here it says the RNC, for they are the party.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Trophies, blue ribbons, and Academy Awards. All reasons to break out the champagne. But before you get toasted, I'll tell you about one first place that isn't a cause for celebration when we come back.
I'm Bobby Likas with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. This first place is a dishonor, and it belongs to alcohol. Yes, the number one cause of death in automotive accidents is drinking and driving. Per the Department of Transportation, alcohol-related crashes have claimed an estimated 170,000 lives and injured nearly 5 million others at a cost of nearly $500 billion. At this rate, 2 in 5 Americans can expect to be involved in an alcohol-related crash in their lifetime. Alcohol slows reaction and impairs judgment. So if the last place you want to end up is the hospital, first things first, choose a designated driver. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I forgot the presidential palm pilot. It's Mark Maron here. I'm with Mark Riley.
You're not sorry.
Sean Conroy is here. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey, there you go. Beautiful.
Morning. I can't wait to hear this.
Morning Sedition is a show. You're listening to Air America Radio. I'm going to do it now because Ramon's here. I think we might even meet him this week. Here's the presidential schedule for today. 8 o'clock a.m., wake up. Stay on message. The Democrats are behind all these violent protests. Note, start some violent protests. 9:45 a.m., speak to American Legion Convention, Opryville Hotel, Nashville. Tell them, quote, the terrorists hate Shania Twain, the terrorists hate Tim McGraw, end quote. 11 a.m., call Schwarzenegger before tonight's speech at the convention. Assure him that being a ridiculous governor with a bizarre accent is no barrier to political success. 3 p.m., Farm Progress Show, Alleman, Iowa. Tell them, quote, I'm proud of the progress our administration has made for the farmer. Once there were thousands of family farms, now there are five corporate agribusinesses. If that's not progress, I don't know what is, end quote. 9:30 p.m., family-style picnic, North Littleton Township, Pennsylvania. Illustrate foreign policy by burning ants with a magnifying glass. 10 p.m., return to Washington, watch Laura speak at convention, then send flowers and thank her for locking up votes in Stepford. 11 p.m., rehearse acceptance speech. Make sure Michael Moore isn't in the audience. Note, his eyes burn my soul. 12 p.m., bedtime, prayer. Dear Jesus, all I need is one guy wearing a carry button and a dress to throw a bomb. Amen.
I enjoyed that. That was...
Did you find that funny, Sean?
Yeah, I did. I did. I was tickled.
So now we're gonna get Ben Cohen on the line here in a minute. But what is your experience? Is he on? Hey, Ben, are you there?
Here.
Hi, Ben. Ben Cohen is the founder, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream and founder of TrueMajorityAction.org. He's not speaking on behalf of Ben & Jerry's, but on behalf of TrueMajorityAction.org. I know that you don't run the have the company anymore, do you? We talked about that.
No. The company has been corporatized.
It sure has. But you know what, Ben? After our conversation, I thought in my heart that maybe it had something to do with it. When I talked to you, like the first time we talked, I was saying that a pint wasn't quite enough, but I didn't want much more than that. Well, now they've added like an inch to the pint. And I thought maybe Ben, you know, went out of his way and said, you know what, I don't really want to have anything to do with them anymore, but I'm going to call them up for Mark and have them add an inch to the pint.
That's right.
Did you do that?
No, I don't have quite as much power as you think I might there, Mark, but I'm glad that your needs have been satisfied.
But, Ben, it's no temporary satisfaction. It only lasts about an hour.
Yeah, well, the beauty of it is that there's always more where that came from.
Why are you in Vermont, not in New York? I don't understand.
Well, you know, we each have our roles to play. Actually, I'm in Vermont putting the finishing touches on the on my last mobile electioneering vehicle for the season, which is a 12-foot-high statue of Uncle Sam sitting down and taking George over his knee and spanking him.
Oh my! So is this a float or a vehicle?
Well, I guess you'd call it a float. It gets pulled. It's on a trailer. It gets pulled behind a car, and it's going to be traveling around Ohio and Pennsylvania.
That's good, Ben. You got a lot of free time on your hands.
And creativity.
You guys got a lot of free time too, just to sit there and yak.
Gee, thanks loads. Is that what we do here?
So you guys, you're going to take it on the road? When are you going out?
First I'm going to go to Burning Man. I'm going to take the Pants on Fire mobile.
Of course.
the big statue of Bush with his pants on fire to the Burning Man Festival in Nevada. And then I'm going to come back and get Sam on his way. We call him Spanky, actually.
Spanky Sam. I've never been to Burning Man. Is it pretty good?
I've never been there myself. I'm going to be a first timer out here. It's a wild experience.
Are you bringing any ice cream or hallucinogenic drugs?
I'm going to see what I can pick up along the way.
Maybe you could put those two things together sometime.
Yeah.
That's how we invented half the flavors.
I'm not really at liberty to talk about new flavors coming out, but there is something coming out with. Having to do with brownies and magic, I believe.
Nice.
Psilocybin crunch, I think it's called.
Magic mushroom mania.
Who would have thought that would be fun with ice cream? So now, you think President Bush has ever seen that? Is he going to get to see this spanky float?
Well, you know, I would imagine Bush is going to be spending some time in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and we're certainly going to do our best to bring him along to meet the Prez. But, you know, we did try to get the President to meet up with the Pants on Fire mobile, and we brought him to Portsmouth when George was there.
Now, what are the Pants on Fire mobile? I didn't get to talk about that.
Well, you know, this is another 12-foot-high statue of Bush
with his pants on fire.
Oh, wow. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Stay with us, Ben. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Do you know who really, really rocks on Sirius?
What?
Diane Rehm on NPR Now.
Dude.
Oh, I really like her hard news analysis of politics and international affairs.
Dude. I really prefer Fresh Air with Terry Gross for her probing questions, revelatory interviews, and unusual insights.
Surf on over to NPR for Diane Rehm, 10 a.m. Eastern weekdays, and Terry Gross, 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. weekends on Sirius NPR Now 106.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on. It's been running all day.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here, three times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh. How long has it been like this?
At least since this morning.
What do you guys think? Someone just washed their hands, left it on, and then, walked off?
I guess.
That's so weird.
How do you just leave on a faucet?
It's kind of bizarre.
Should we do something?
We should tell somebody.
We can leave a note.
You guys aren't using this, were you? Not us.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Back. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. Sean Conroy is here. It's Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. Now we're going to get back on track. Chris, I'm going to do the presidential daily briefing. It's time to look at that, the highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled Mayor Bloomberg, Tool of Al-Qaeda. Mr. President, it's come to our attention that the diminutive New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said this Monday at the Republican convention that he and Governor George Pataki had, quote, laid the tombstone for the site of the Freedom Tower, end quote, in Lower Manhattan. Such embarrassing malapropism.
There you go.
Jeez, why? I mean, things get stuck in my... Such embarrassing malapropisms are all in a day's work for you, Mr. President, but coming from the mayor of such a suspiciously democratic city like New York, it can only be seen as a threat. After culling data from the CIA and not sharing the information with the FBI, we have come to the undeniable conclusion that this Bloomberg, if that is his real name, is communicating in code to Al-Qaeda. He is clearly bitter about the lack of funding his city was promised after 9/11 and now is seeking his revenge on the Republican Party. Who would ever suspect that the mayor would be the key insider in a terrorist network? The notion is so preposterous that we have no choice but to believe it. We began round-the-clock surveillance of this Bloomberg immediately after he banned smoking in New York City restaurants. That kind of hostile attack on our friends in the tobacco industry was obviously an opening salvo in his war on democracy. We suggest a prolonged smear campaign on Bloomberg's military record, and if he has no military record, call him a coward. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. We are on the phone still with the co-creator of Ben & Jerry's, Ben Cohen, who is doing a lot of political activism. One item of which, this it's called, what is called, the Pants on Fire guy?
Yeah, the Pants on Fire Mobile.
Yes, and what does that look like, Ben?
That's a 12-foot-high statue of Bush standing up straight, and he's got these artificial flames coming out of both legs. It's kind of... uses this kind of thin nylon, and it shines these bright orange lights on it, and it's got a fan coming out of it, so it really looks like flames. And then going across his front, he's holding in both of his hands an LED sign that scrolls his various lies and then what the real truth is.
Right. Is there a doll of this?
Say what?
Do you guys make a doll, a little doll?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got the Pants on Fire doll.
Because we have one.
That
yeah.
Was the,
that's right.
That was the hot gift last Christmas. And,
that's not the one that farts, is it?
No, we don't have the farty one. No.
Okay, we got one of those too.
Yeah, a friend of mine got me the farty one, which you know,
that's some hardcore political activism.
A little sophomoric, a little over the line. We believe that we're a lot more discreet and we have a lot more decorum.
Yeah, absolutely. So now what's the plan? So you think that. Are you also active in this anti-black box or the pro, the voting? What's wrong with me?
Anti-Diebold machine
right,
thing.
Right, right. We got the problem with the computerized voting machines that don't have a paper trail.
We need a paper trail.
Yes, we've been very active. We've actually been one of the leaders in the campaign to get those machines decertified, and indeed they did get decertified in California and a bunch of other states stopped. Buying them, you know, a lot more states were planning on buying them, and they stopped. And a bunch of other states have given voters an option of filling out a paper ballot at the poll if they request
it. I was encouraged to vote absentee. I heard everyone's supposed to vote absentee this year.
Yep, absolutely.
If their states can handle it, you got to check in on that. Did you? Now, I wish you were down here, Ben, because like since President Bush is trying to attract as many different groups as possible this week, he's trying out. He's got a variety of speakers. Last night was Giuliani, McCain. Tonight his wife Laura and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I got a list of some other groups he's trying to target. You want me to read them to you?
Yeah, sure. Right, I want to hear what Laura.
All right, listen to this. So this is Laura Bush is trying to target sorority girls or any other girls who exclude others based on money and looks. women who have committed vehicular manslaughter. Women who have married morons just for his family's money. Women who have married former sloppy drunks, active codependent women, mothers of daughters who are current sloppy drunks, women who are silent for 3 years and then go on the campaign trail as part of the Republican attack machine when they're losing. That's just Laura Bush who's trying to hit some of those. Arnold Schwarzenegger, on the other hand, is trying to target women who like to be groped in the workplace, confused gay teens. Fans of summer blockbusters with a high body count, conservative steroid abusers, bodybuilders trying to revive their dying acting careers, of course the untalented, impotent Hummer owners, of course.
He got rid of four of them.
Lonely Kennedy women and hustling immigrants with gaps in their front teeth, and of course finally the undead. You with me, Ben?
I'm with you, but I want to join the Legion of Girly Men.
I think you're in. Do you need a card or something? We'll send you a card. The Girly Man ID cards. But you know who's really going to be there tonight? It's going to be the Walk of the Evil Ones. Dick and Lynn Cheney. That's tomorrow night. Tonight is Laura Bush, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Elizabeth Dole, Bill Frist, who gives me the creeps, man. How about you, Ben?
Yeah, that is kind of a scary guy.
And Sam Brownback, who is the backbone of Thomas Frank, his new book, What's Wrong with Kansas. He's going to be with us for 2 hours tomorrow. Have you read that book, Ben?
No.
It's a great book, man. Your book's kind of fun. I had a good time reading your book.
50 Things You Can Do to Show George the Door in 2004?
That would be the book, yeah. That was a good time.
Much.
Yeah, it was a good time. You're using your free time well.
That book. There's a lot of helpful and practical ideas.
Didn't you just get, did someone just hand me some playing cards this morning that you're part of?
Yeah, that's the newest thing we've come up with. They're just starting to hit the stores. They're available on our website. It's the Pack of Lies. It's the ultimate deck. It's the ultimate playing card deck for this political season. Definitely, beyond a doubt, the most well-designed deck. But the beauty, the real beauty of this deck is that not only is it a deck of regular playing cards, but it is a special deck that allows you to play Bushingo, the newly popular card game.
Wait, did you invent it, Ben?
Yes, I did invent that, along with a bunch of highly qualified gamers. And Jerry Greenfield, my partner.
Is that Jerry Paulson. Jerry?
What's that?
That's Jerry Jerry? Like Ben and Jerry Jerry?
You know, not the dead Jerry, but the one who's still alive.
No, yeah, he's the guy with the ice cream Jerry.
Yeah, ice cream Jerry.
Yeah, no, I know Garcia's
Jerry.
Yeah.
So you can get all this stuff at TrueMajorityAction.org?
Yeah, okay. That's the place to be.
Okay, so how is Jerry? Do you call him up and bother him with this stuff? Is Jerry like the sort of relaxing one, and you're like, dude, we're making cards?
You know, he is a little more relaxing, and he is incredibly supportive. And the great thing about Jerry is that he is the former director of mobile promotions of Ben and Jerry's.
Right.
And he has an uncanny ability to buy a great used car for a really low price.
Hey, Ben, can you name this sound in 2 seconds? Anything?
That sounds like my dog when her teeth are chattering.
Well, you can't hear quite right.
Close, though.
I appreciate you being here. It's always a good time, Ben. And thanks for all the stuff you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Appreciate it, Ben.
Well, enjoy your game of Bushingo.
Okay.
All right.
The last plug. And by the way, we'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, muscular skeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
Did you know there's a delicious energy bar that is certified organic? It's called Cliff Bar, with the rock climber on the package. Cliff Bars are made with whole grains and real fruit, and they don't contain trans fats or hydrogenated oils. Cliff Bar, the company, belongs to a growing community of people and companies dedicated to leaving a lighter footprint on the planet. Visit CliffBar.com and learn about this small group of people working to create a better energy bar and a more healthful environment.
George Condon, Robin and Dick, they're all in town to party. Convention's here, the delegates bring you from the grand authority.
Okay, can we make sure all the balloons drop this time?
Yes-siree, folks, it's the Republicans in the Bay Apple, New York City, for their convention. RNC coverage from the left side on Sirius Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius LQ 149.
Here it says the RNC, for they are the party.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name 3 kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Coming in for landing here on Morning's Edition. This is Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Sean Conroy, still here.
Still here.
Let's talk about those attack ads.
Okay.
What do you got on that?
What I got on that is this. I wish I had known about that when I was running for safety chairman in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Instead of running on the issues, I would have said things like, you know, do you really want a safety chairman who doesn't look both ways crossing the street?
Yeah.
Do you really want a safety chairman who doesn't wear his helmet when he rides his bike? You know, stuff like that. And what's good about that is it doesn't actually say that the other guy does those things.
Yeah.
It just kind of implies it. You
know? I will not steal your lunch.
No specifics. Right, right.
Yeah, that's funny. So we got a big big show, big night tonight and big show tomorrow. Senator Sam Brownback is on tonight, which I think is exciting because Thomas Frank, who wrote the book What's Wrong with Kansas, is hopefully going to sit with us for a good chunk of time tomorrow. And this is a book that really, really goes into the difference between the moderate Republicans and the conservative Republicans, where that came from, how it evolved, you know, what's the Democrats' responsibility in creating this schism and losing the working people of this country, and how do they get them back. And Sam Brownback really is one of the themes throughout his book, because this is a guy that started out as a moderate and evolved into a ultra-right wing, primarily to garner votes from people who are fanatics.
Well, you know, we also tonight is Rod Paige, who is African-American Secretary of Education, a man who rose himself up from poverty in Mississippi, as he'll tell you, and anyone who reads his bio will tell you. He also got into some controversy by calling, I believe it was the United Federation of Teachers, a group of terrorists. He is the person who has been in charge of No Child Left Behind, which has set standards for which there is no funding.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how he's going to explain that this evening, but I'm sure he'll come up with something.
And apparently a lot of these, there's some very sort of specific type of protesting going on. The anarchists and some of the protesters have really sort of pinpointed where delegates are going to be, where they're going to be eating lunch, where they're going to be eating dinner, and doing some fairly creative protesting. I just want to say today is the day that was supposed to be the sort of, you know, unsanctioned protest. Be careful. Because, you know, they are ready for you, and just, you know, watch yourselves and try not to get hurt.
Know who you are around. If, you know the limits of the protest that you're willing to do. If you're not willing to get arrested, like maybe you got a previous record, you're on probation, whatever, don't get yourself caught up in something where you're going to get busted, and then you'll be protesting, saying, well, I didn't do anything, as the judge sentences you to time served.
Dig this. Among the parties expected to be a target is the Tennessee delegation's gathering at Sotheby's. A group calling itself the Men in Black Bloc plans to protest it, saying it is angered that the convention intends to honor the late country singer Johnny Cash. These guys are shameless in using the dead to promote their message.
Especially Johnny Cash.
What were you going to say, buddy?
No, I just, you guys were saying you should do this if you have a police record. I felt like you were talking directly to me. So.
Oh, yeah.
You're an outlaw, Conroy. Sean Conroy, the outlaw, will be performing tonight at Unconventional Humor at Chicago City Limits. It's part of the Imagine 2004 Festival being held this week in New York City.
I think I sold a lot of tickets by being here, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, you had us dying. It's going to be Sean Conroy, Kimmy Gatewood, Todd Womack, Dan Cronin, The Robin Mark Show, Amanda Melson, Allison Castillo, Aaron Foley, Liam McEnany, and Craig Baldo. There's our liberal agenda for today from the Streisand compound. Thanks for being here, Sean.
Thank you for having
me, Sean.
Here's your marching orders. To write them down. One, remember when giving directions to delegates, the Statue of Liberty is west of Hackensack and north of Poughkeepsie. That's all you got to say. Two, words to use, Republican, Refuglican, Resmuglican, Repiglican, Milovlican, Nice Juglican. Three, call, oh my God. Call your mother, she worries, okay? All those people, such a big city. Four, make sure to stretch and warm up before doing ecstatic anti-Bush dance. And five, today's phrase, drop it into conversation. Quote, McCain, you douchebag, end quote. Is anyone watching? Oh, no, here comes Bill Bennett and Andrew Card. We got to go, dude.
excited to get out of here. Let's make this quick. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, Thomas Frank is hanging out with us. He wrote What's the Matter with Kansas? So we've got lots to talk about. Plus, another Republican who's voting for Kerry, and this one was an Assistant Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good day.
All right, take it easy, man.